B-Pod Studios.
97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another week with Mike Missanelli show on a Monday show. And well, I don't know if it was in the program that the Phillies were supposed to lose 2 or 3 to the Reds. I think we all had them winning 2 or 3 of the Reds. However, I am undaunted. I know a lot of people would like to panic here, especially after Aaron Nola loses. The Aaron Nola factor comes in for me in the playoffs. Right now, the Aaron Nola hit or miss is enough, I believe, to get you through the regular season. And again, it's not palatable to lose 2 or 3 of the Reds, but it's not the end of the world. Not that I'm happy with the Phillies this weekend. However, once they get through this crap team, Arizona, and then San Diego, the schedule will be in their favor. And we predicted that the Braves probably would be in first place through this 12-game span. And it looks like they will be. So I am not down on the Phillies today. I'm not going to be down on the Phillies. I still think they can win a division. I still think they will win the division. In fact, I think they will win it going away. See, if the only game you win is Matt Moore pitching a no-hitter, it's an odd weekend. All right, so you take the gift. Nola loses, but Matt Moore almost pitched a no-hitter. How do you take a guy and have a no-hitter? Like, I could never do that. I could never take a guy. He's got a no-hitter going. I could never take him out of the game.
That's happened. Casey from NBC Sports Philadelphia looked it up 6 times around the majors this year. I couldn't do it.
It's really?
Six different times.
How many pitches did he have? I can see taking a guy out.
70-some.
Well, see, that you throw 70-some, let the guy go out another inning.
I agree. And see if he can keep it going. I would have left him in, but he had stunk the previous outing, so I guess they figured I got enough.
What was
him.
The score they took him out?
2-0.
Oh, it was 2-0.
It was only 2-0.
I still think I was getting a no-hitter. Come on, what are you talking about? If he's struggling, you take him out of the game. I don't know. Well, anyway, it's irrelevant. They won the game. He almost pitched it. He gave up no hits. I don't know. See, I don't know where these outings come from with guys that stink. But occasionally, in baseball, a guy that stinks will come out and pitch well.
76 he was at.
76?
I knew it was 70-something.
You can't take him out with 76 pitches.
I wouldn't have.
All right, but anyway. So that's the way it goes. And like I say, I'm in a good mood today. They lost 2 or 3 to the Reds. I get it. The Reds have pop. They hit a lot of home runs. It's not a big disgrace. Now, if they lose 2 of 3 to Arizona, I may play taps, to be honest with you, because they should sweep the series. But I'll give a lucky win to the Diamondbacks. So if they don't win 2 or 3, then we got some problems. Right. You got some problems. But I don't have any problems now. You seem to have some problems right now because you're discussing with Nola because that was your Sunday special game.
Yeah, you know what it is. I'm for a long time this team wasn't very enjoyable to watch.
Uh-huh.
They were staying in the mix, but we talked about how they're not. They weren't fun.
Yeah.
It's now the way Harper's playing. Even yesterday where he gets a couple of RBIs, he walks, how hard he played on Saturday. He's running things out. They're becoming, in some ways, a more fun to watch as a unit.
Yeah.
And that guy now, you're the opening starter. I get that Wheeler has emerged as the ace, but you're the opening day guy. You're home where he's usually better. You can chance to win a series against a good team. Just show me that you're good. I get what you're saying about the division. But I want to feel good about my baseball team. I don't want it to be like we were looking at the football season last year where we kept on saying if they could just get it together. This NFC East is so terrible, they can win it. I would like my to feel good about my team. And if he goes out and pitches well last night after pitching well against the Dodgers, I can at least say, you know what? They got a couple of starting pitchers. I feel good about my team. It's hard for me to feel good about the Phillies the way he's pitching because he's right now he stinks.
But he's like, he's up and he's down. He'll pitch and go in the next time out. Usually when he follows a good pitching performance and a bad pitching performance. That's why I would have at the trading deadline. What would I have done? I would have traded him. It's too late now. What are you going to get from now? He's now going to finish the rest of the season as an inconsistent pitcher, and that's the guy you have. So, you know, sometimes you got to be ahead of the game. But don't worry about it. I'm telling you, do not worry about it. They will win enough games to win the division.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look, you guys are looking at me like I'm trying to put a con game on.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not con.
I'm not worried.
These teams that they're going to be playing are awful. And they're not going to lose to these teams. The Reds have some pop.
Yeah, they do.
So you can lose to the Reds, but you're not going to lose to Washington. You're not going to lose to Arizona.
Orioles.
Yeah, you're not going to lose series to them. You may lose a game. So don't worry about it. Nolan, next time out, he's gonna pitch well.
I can't. No, I can't. He's entering, for me, that Ben Simmons realm of on my damn nerves.
Oh, boy.
He just the way he's carried himself all year. Well, he's kind of on my nerves.
Another thing he's on your nerves about, too. He's on my nerves with that, too.
Yeah,
maybe that'll help.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe
that'll help.
He needs to do something.
He's afraid of how it's going to affect his performance.
It can't hurt his pitching at this
point. No, it can't.
I mean, he's up 0-2 to the leadoff batter and gives up a home run. I guess that shouldn't matter. In the grand scheme.
Well, that's a guy that's not true. I told you
that's
about
what it. He's telling
his release point has to be perfect every single time, which is why I would have traded him.
But it's
moving parts with Aaron Nola.
But he used to be all right. I don't need him to be great. Right, he didn't need to be great. He didn't need to be great.
Older now.
Can he? But he's not old.
Not old, but he's getting older.
Can I get? I mean, we're all getting older. I just need him to give me 7 innings. He can't make it out the 6th inning. I'm sitting there in the boiling heat.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot outside last night. I'm in there. It's 30,000 in the joint. And he's stinking it out, making 30,000 people hold their nose.
You know, it's funny. Like, a lot of your evaluation goes on your unpleasant experience at the ballpark. Because it was hot.
That's true.
It was hot. Had it been a cool Sunday afternoon, you wouldn't be as bothered.
I'd have been less angry. I would have been. Like, I'm sitting in the sun, and you can't make it out of 6 inches.
I'm already hot as it is. What are you doing to me?
I'm sweating in here, my Harper jersey. I'm sweating. And you can't get out the 6th inning. Like, that does contribute to it.
All right, so Eagles and Patriots in joint practices, and we'll get the update from Tim McManus coming up a little later. And I think this would be a good topic to talk about because I can't believe that this could actually have happened. And so I know there are collectors out there, right? People collect memorabilia and cards and stuff. I was one of the idiots that growing up had a lot of baseball cards and would gamble with them. We would play baseball card games like Farsies. And Farsies was when you flip the card as far as you can to the wall, and the other guy had to beat you.
I'd beat by coming out, being closer to the wall.
You'd be closer to the wall. You can't hit. Yeah, without hitting the wall.
Right.
And so that's a one card duel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just one transaction. So you win that hand. You take this card,
right?
And so you guys, this is not for fun. Now this is you're losing your collection,
right? You're putting it on the line,
right? And then somebody would call Topsies.
Okay,
and what's that mean? Topsies where you kept flipping your cards until your card landed on your opponent's.
Oh, and then you could take them all.
And the pot got pretty heavy for that.
Oh.
And then the last game we played, it was 3 games, and you just, you know, whatever you were in the mood for, whatever you didn't want to lose. I lost my whole stash one day playing Noxies.
What's that?
Noxies.
I never played that.
Noxies where you slanted a card against the wall, and from a certain distance, you flipped your cards at the Noxie card to see if you can knock it over. And if you did, you collected the whole pot. Now, those pots could get really substantial.
Wow.
So I was the idiot that did that with cards. Meanwhile, nerdy kids were putting them in plastic sleeves and notebooks, and now they're worth $1 zillion, including this guy. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know where this card came from. But the guy sold a Honus Wagner baseball card for $6.606 million. $6,606,000 for one baseball card. Now, this card set was printed between 1909 and 1911. Where on earth did this card get protected by several generations?
A 100-year-old card.
Who would have protected this card to make it in pristine condition? Who would have known at the time?
I don't.
It's almost, I find it improbable. But if there's somebody out there, are you holding on to cards? Did you get rid of your cards? Did your mom throw them out? Or were you smart enough to figure out? I don't know how you could as a kid, but to figure out that a baseball card eventually would be worth a lot of money.
Man.
I had no idea.
You were beating up your cards.
Oh, baseball card, a pack of baseball card with the bubble gum. I spent my money on those. I lost like 200 cards one Saturday.
Oh.
It was depleted. And my parents go, I'm not giving you any more money for baseball cards.
Right, you're just beating them up.
It was a sorrowful day.
And losing
That's a
them.
Tough day. Now, Booney gave all his cards to Red Velvet, his son. He has thousands of cards that he's gifted.
Red Velvet should pass them on to little Red Velvet.
Right.
Who should pass them on to the grandson of Red Velvet.
Now, my cards are at my parents' house.
But when do you sell them? That's the thing. You can pass them on to generations. When do you make the move to sell them?
It's tough because there's many a card out there that's not worth anything no matter how long because they weren't scarce enough. There must have been something scarce about that particular card, not just the age. Because if there's 1,000 of them, it's not worth a lot. So you have to hope that you, in your pack, you got something that was rare in addition to keeping it in pristine condition. Now, I have all my old cards. They're at my parents' house in the binder still. All I did was take them out of the pack, so I did touch them, and put them into the sleeve. And never did anything with them. I never traded them, never did anything. But they're just sitting there. Many of them been sitting there since the 90s.
Well,
so what do I do?
Well, you ought to get them appraised, first of all. Somebody will call you or get in touch with you email-wise to appraise your set. But this also brings in other things. Like, I know a lot of people who collect other stuff. And I've never been a collector of anything. In fact, I'm the opposite. I can't wait to get rid of stuff. So, yeah. But people Same. Like collect, like, what are those little, those Hummels?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Hummel mm-hmm. collectors, and, yep. and you know, there's like little knick-knack collectors, whatever. And I don't know why people collect. It's an interesting phenomenon.
Taking up space.
My grandma collects salt and pepper shakers.
What? Yeah, there
She's been
go.
Collecting them, and she was, my grandfather, her husband, was in the military. So she has them from all over the world. Germany, Panama, Korea, all over the world. Uh-huh. They lived in Panama, they lived in Germany, different parts of well, America,
does she,
Missouri.
So does she display them?
She has them in this china cabinet.
Uh-huh.
And it's
on display.
Yeah, it's on display. I mean, she doesn't like walk you through it. It's just
there.
But in the dining room, if you like look behind at the head of the table, if you look behind her where she sits, like at a big meal, behind her is all these wonderful salt and pepper shakers from around the world.
Does she collect? Because people have an affection for certain things. Like, does she collect because she has an affection for them, or she collects them because she thinks that this is a valuable piece of property?
I don't think it was about value. I think she just likes
them. She just likes them.
But she does. But she never. Grandma never told us why. She just did it, and I think she liked them. But she never mentioned selling them or passing them down or anything like value never came up. So I think she just liked them.
That's interesting.
From all over the place. Yeah, got those in Panama.
I saw some TV show, too, where somebody was a collector of salt and pepper shakers.
She's got a bunch of them.
Yeah. That must be a thing.
Must be.
If you have any collecting experience, tell me why you collect. And because the baseball cards have a tangible value. There's collectors out there. This was a collector. This guy with the Wagner card. An East Coast collector. Both seller and buyer prefer to remain anonymous. Well, I guess they do. There could be a stick-up crew hanging around the house for this $6.606 million behind Wagner. Oh, God bless you. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you get in on the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic.
2:23, Mike Missanelli Show, 2 o'clock hour. Ferguson HVAC line Conklin brings it to us. Attention to HVAC contractors for equipment parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job is one of Ferguson's county locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. Jennifer Scordo with us, as she is every day, and she brings us the Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're looking for a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, check it out at Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown, because they have it all. Just order online at paulbmoyer.com or look it up on their website and find the piece that you want. Call them and order it, and you can pick it up yourself. Jennifer.
Hello. With a baseball card being sold for over $6 million, have you ever collected anything? Baseball cards, shot glasses, stamps, salt and pepper shakers, whatever it may be. And it's just a yes or no answer. Yes, collected things. No, never kept stuff. Right now, yes is winning at 76%.
Yeah, a lot of people collect shot glasses. I've seen that collection.
Yeah.
I do.
You collect shot glasses?
Yeah, we collect shot glasses. Yeah, so if we have functions at our house, I was telling Jen, we pass out shot glasses. You have to remember your country.
It's a great idea.
So, like, if you came over, we'd give you Italy. So,
your shot glasses are all from countries?
They're not all from countries, but that's the party stash. We got other ones from different places, Vegas, different places in Florida, Myrtle Beach, different places we go. We get them, but we also have a bunch from the country. So then, like, if you took Italy, then, Jen, you would get Poland. And you remember, so then when you go back for another drink or whatever, the glass, yes, your country, you're assigned.
Huh.
Because usually we end up doing a few shots.
Are you assuming I'm Polish?
No. It could have been Germany. I just picked. It could have been Belarus.
Do you have one from Belarus?
I mean, you do have one from Belarus.
Do you really? I'll take that one. I'll claim that.
You look Belarusian. I didn't take that.
That was just, we collected.
I must be odd. Because I don't collect a thing, man. I have no collection.
I don't either, Mike. I don't either.
No, we have a lot.
You know what I collect? Because I don't know what to do with it because I think it's valuable and I just keep it. It's old stereo equipment.
It's
worth nothing.
I have that. I keep too much stuff. I also have my comic book collection still.
It's tangible.
What I did was that has the backing, so I vacuum sealed it.
Well, that's what you do.
Like, because it was in a box.
About these,
but it's like in my basement, like under the steps, but it's vacuum sealed, so it's good.
Sitting in my basement. Well, you see, you did the right thing. You put your cards in sleeves, you vacuum sealed your comic books. That's all valuable stuff. I got like two Yamaha. I got an old school Yamaha receiver.
I love
and
those.
An old school Philips turntable that had the sensor button where
I love those.
The heat of your finger would turn it on.
I love those.
I got these speakers. I don't know what to do with it. They're obsolete.
So this is where I got to get like a bigger house one day. Because I would want a room for that kind of stuff. Because I still buy records.
Me too.
I just bought a record. Corinne Bailey Rae's first album. I just bought that on vinyl. It just came out on vinyl and I bought it.
And do you play them?
Yeah, I don't get to play them as much as I used to, but yeah.
So you got speaker hooks up to a receiver?
Yeah, well,
you got a receiver all hooked up.
Yeah, it's a record player that I have on this old chest.
Oh, okay.
That it has speakers built in. It actually has like it's one of those that like has like a radio.
I remember this.
Yeah, I got one of those, and I just play them. I don't play them as much, but I still buy records. Like the pandemic slowed it down
because
you couldn't really. I'm digging through the crates with the pandemic, with the Rona.
Yeah,
but now I'm back to buying them online.
Yeah.
So I would love to have a room dedicated to that, but I don't have that kind of house.
By the way, I don't mean to make light of the situation because it's a terrible situation that's going on in Afghanistan. But
for sure,
that president went, see ya. Man, my man was out in a flash.
I saw your tweet. I saw your tweet
over
about
here.
The Godfather.
Yeah, Ashraf Ghani. Didn't it remind you of that scene where the Cuban guy abdicated on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, they're at the
before
party.
Before Fredo got the kiss on the lips?
Yeah, they're at the party. He jumps on stage and says, it has been made, I've been made aware.
Yeah. Here's what he said. Debido a las derrotas de nuestras tropas. And Santiago y Guantanamo.
Well, they had the subtitles. What does it mean?
Yeah, he said, well, it means due to our defeats.
Yeah.
Our troops suffered defeats in Santiago and Guantanamo. I must leave the country immediately. And then he goes, this is the great one. Te deseo buena suerte. Salud. 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 He's like, what? People going to a party going, what? Why? What'd you say? What do I do now?
They start scrambling.
I was about to drink champagne. You're leaving the country?
They start scrambling. Now, what was Fredo thinking he was doing? Fredo's lucky to make it out of Cuba.
He made it, though.
He did. I have to give him credit. That shows you how connected he was to Cuba.
Back channel.
That he found a way to make it back to America.
Johnny Ola probably got him out.
Where was Johnny Ola at that point?
Johnny was hanging around Cuba.
Yeah.
With Hyman.
Yeah, they say, all right, we'll take care of you, Fredo.
But that, my man in Afghanistan, he took the express train out.
He's going quick.
Let's go to Rodriguez in Middletown. Rodriguez, buena suerte.
Mike, ¿qué tú haces hablando español without me, Mike? ¿Qué pasa, Mike?
What's going on, Rodriguez?
Man, I'm doing good, Mike. You know what, Mike?
What?
Hey, I'm feeling good about this team this year. I really am.
The Eagles?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. Yeah, the Eagles. I mean, I think the Phillies have a chance, but yeah, I'm talking about the Eagles here.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw was basically Hurts, our starter, and that we have a good backup. That's what I saw.
In game one, they looked okay. Their defensive and offensive line, if they play well, they're going to win seven games.
Right, yeah. Seven, eight games.
I don't know. What do you think more than that?
I'm hoping that they'll do a little more than that and win the division. I believe that we have a good team. I don't think this is a team that's going to win or go all the way, but I think this is a team that can win this division. We have a good backup with Flacco. Anybody who thinks anything different about Flacco, hey, listen, you are you're still bitter about Wentz. That's because you don't want Hurts. That's all I see. I've seen a lot of people posting this weekend. I've heard some talk radio, and I'm telling you, a lot of people they don't want Hurts because they're bitter about what happened with Wentz. That's all it is, Mike.
Well, I think it's legit. I think that Hurts has to really prove that he can play at this level.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can't look at him and go, problems are solved. I haven't seen enough of him. When the real season starts, we'll see.
We'll see. But he just gave me a good feeling about it. I can't wait for Thursday and see what happens there.
All right, buddy. You got it, Rodriguez.
No bam on Mike.
Oh, there he is. I find it interesting, like, this way he brought up Wentz. Why is Doug Peterson going to continue to, like, try to BS me? Right? He goes to camp, and he goes...
He goes to the Colts camp.
Yeah, he goes to the Colts camp. I really wanted to go to Indianapolis to see Frank. But I knew Carson was there, of course, and I wanted to see him, too. Carson and I were together for 5 years. We accomplished so much together. I wanted to run into Carson. I wanted to hug his neck and wish him well, and I think the feeling was mutual with him. Let's stop it. Come on with this nicey-nicey.
He felt like you betrayed him, and he stopped talking to you.
Carson and I always had a great relationship. Shut up.
Now,
just move on.
I agree. Now, apparently at the end, though, Carson would have been willing to squash it with Doug if, and the if was Hollywood had been fired. And that wasn't
going to happen. You got to make a spectacle of yourself, first of all, go to camp. Why? What do you got to go to camp for? Especially there, where people are going to have eyeballs on you, and you're going to turn it into a gooey story.
My guess
Get the hell home.
Well, maybe he didn't want. Maybe he wants to be in the eye.
Oh, then go to other camps. I wanted to see Frank. Oh, just so happens you want to see Frank.
Right.
Now, you think people are going to write a feely good story about you wanting to hug Carson's neck?
Well,
come on. Stop.
But there are some people I know that fans think, oh, it was just about Carson being soft. And if they think that, you're allowed to have that opinion. There are people in league circles who thought the way the Eagles handled it was bad. And you see what happened with Green Bay. Look how well Rodgers handled it. Yeah, Rodgers hates that GM. He can't wait to get out of there. Like, so I think that hugging Wentz is a way to tell the league, hey, that wasn't really me who did the betrayal thing.
Yeah.
Because there are players that look at that and go, you kind of can't trust what the Eagles did. And then they won't even name Hurts the starter. So they did all that, and they don't even want to name Hurts the starter. So, like, what are you guys doing? It kind of makes them, it does still make the Eagles look a little Mickey Mouse, despite the fact that people think it was just about Wentz being soft.
Yeah. Salud. Salud. I can't get over it. Some people are going on Twitter. What do you want to do, stay around and get beheaded? I don't know. Like 2 months ago, the guy said he's going down with a fight. Didn't he?
He did say that. It's kind of like
he said, I'll never leave my people.
I think it happened a little worse and faster. Well, separating the politics, I think it happened a little bit quicker than he expected. But it's kind of like that Mike Tyson thing of everybody has a plan until they get knocked in and punched in the mouth.
Of course.
He was like, I'm staying with y'all until it got a little too close.
He's
got
to go down like Tony Montana, don't you think?
I think if you're the leader and you want to really, if you want to try to build a resistance.
Get the big gun. Come on.
Yeah.
He would have martyred.
I could take your bullets.
He would have martyred. Now where he's living on a lamb somewhere?
He'll end up here.
He's getting egg noodles and ketchup somewhere with Henry Hill?
I believe so. Yes.
This is Frank in Bucks County. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Hey, guys, how are you today?
What's up, Frankie?
This is not Frank Reich, by the way. After all that conversation.
That's not true.
It could be Frank, Greg. You sound like him.
Yeah. I just want to say, Mike, Tyrone, Jen, I've been listening for forever. And since you've been on TV, been a regular viewer, I just wanted to check in because you started off with the Honus Wagner thing. A little background on that I have attained over the years. I went to my first Phillies game in 1956, so I've been around the block a few times. The situation with the Honus Wagner card is that, well, first of all, they believe because it's shrouded in mystery that there are less than 20 of them available, but people are hoarding them away and don't, let others know that they have it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the reason that the card became so scarce, it was originally put out, believe it or not, they were put out in packs of cigarettes. And
wait. Baseball cards were in packs of cigarettes?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Before bubblegum?
Yeah, back at the turn of the century, they were in packs of cigarettes. So you see how far the card thing has come. And it was a limited selection of star players. So each year for a few years, and it's some cigarette company that doesn't exist anymore. It's not like a brand that you would know. So, it was one of those things. They would put out 20 or 30 cards of star players.
Yeah.
Well, Honus Wagner, I at that point, I don't think these guys, the players, were being compensated for this. They just had a likeness of them and printed it on a card and shoved it into the back of the cigarette pack.
Well, let me ask you this, because kids are the collectors. Kids want the baseball cards, right? Well, they got to buy a pack of cigarettes to get a card?
Well, maybe kids were smoking more back then. I don't know. But
come on, man. Stop it.
But the thing is, the one year they put out a Honus Wagner card out among the limited collection.
Yeah.
And Honus Wagner objected. He was a Christian who didn't smoke and didn't drink. And he said, please do not include me in your collection going forward.
Wow.
So it was kind of a once and done thing. And that's why there were so few of them. And like I said, they think there's less than 20 of them in existence.
Wow.
But they're, but there's people.
Well, God bless them. If there's 19 others, what this guy got in with for the top prize, would the others that are out there be worth as much? I'm getting a lot of info on my inside sources are telling me.
A lot of that guy. Also,
what?
As Booney points out, the theories he was talking about with the Wagner cards, none of those have ever been proven.
Really?
Okay. And Wagner's face was on cigarette bans. He had no problem with that.
Okay.
That part, there's a lot of wives' tales that go around about it. Now, there were cards in cigarettes, but not necessarily valuable ones like this one.
My sources are telling me that the man who sold this card is local.
Local and famous or just local?
Just a local person.
Oh, really?
With a very interesting collection. He's got Joe DiMaggio's World Series ring.
Ooh.
He's got Marilyn Monroe wedding certificate.
Oh, really?
He's got a Pelé jersey from back in the day.
That's pretty cool.
He's got Jordan's rookie jersey.
He got Jordan rookie jersey?
Yeah. He's got a collection that's worth like $50
million.
Wow.
He's the one that sold it or bought it?
He sold it.
He sold it.
So I wonder why he sold
it. He had it.
Right, but $6 million.
If the gentleman is listening out there, I would love to, we'll remain anonymous.
We promise.
We will not identify you at all.
Yeah.
But it's a local person. It's interesting.
Yeah.
West Fishers are coming up big for me.
Pretty good.
Greg in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Greg?
I thought yesterday's game, when it started out, was going to be perfect for Nola. You know, that umpire was making the strike zone about twice as wide as usual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting the inside corner, outside corner, off the corners. You know, and that's usually where Nola lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, it seemed like he wasn't finishing his pitches, leaving them up. Can you tell me, what is the theory behind throwing a strike when you're up 0-2 and not wasting a pitch?
Well, he's not trying to throw a strike, but that's how his command is off. And that, like I said, his release point has to be perfect for him to be effective. And right. When it's not, it's a hittable strike because he's throwing 92.
Right.
You know, that's the peril of it. You know, people saying he's an ace. Yeah, yeah. When he's perfect, he could be an ace. But guys like that have to be pinpoint perfect.
Sure. Well, when he relies on that two-seamer for a backdoor strike and it drifts over the plate up, it's going to find the seats. You know, I don't, mm-hmm. Why doesn't he just bury a slider and waste a pitch?
Well, I don't know. He feels comfortable with that pitch. But if you can't locate it, you can't locate it.
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean, it's not only Nola. It's sort of like a badge of honor. You know, look how many strikeouts I had. To me, to throw something that they can get a bat on 0-2,
yeah, it's not supposed to happen that way, bro.
Yeah, okay.
It's just not. They're not. Believe me, they're not trying to throw a strike 0-2 that can be hit out of the park.
Well, I mean, obviously they're not trying to throw a home run, but you'd think.
But they're not trying to throw a hittable pitch.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not trying to strike a guy out on three pitches. He's just
missing. So what
missing.
You're saying is he was missing by a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes with Aaron Nola.
Yeah,
you know, but don't worry about it. See, you're fretting. The schedule is in their favor.
Well, did you hear his post game?
No.
Somebody asked him whether he ever goes back and looks at the tape of one of his games, I forget which one, where he was really successful. And he said no, but at the end of his comments, he said something about your body changes. Which made me wonder, you know, if the guy's having shoulder issues he's not telling people about.
Well, I mean, it's just listen, thanks for the call, Greg. Greg's a detail man. He likes to get into it.
Yeah.
Pitchers aren't going to feel 100% physically fit every single time they go out there. They're throwing a lot of innings, and sometimes their arm's dragging. Sometimes it could be a little sore. It's August. So, obviously, some days you feel better than others, right? There are days when you slog into work and there are other days when you get a little pep.
Yeah.
You know, that's the same with an athlete.
Yeah. You're right. Now, some of the responses about this collecting thing, Mike, mm-hmm. I think you'd be interested
yeah?
in.
Yeah? What you got?
Now, one guy collects games. He has, how many? He has over $5,000 worth of different games.
Oh, what, board games?
Board games, yeah,
I think video games.
Oh, mm-hmm. Video games, okay.
Then we have one person that has a 1933 Babe Ruth card.
That's pretty awesome.
An authentic of grade. It's graded. He has it in the thing. He took a picture of it and put it up. A 1933 Babe Ruth card with an authentication quality. That's pretty cool.
When do you know when to sell it?
That person
like,
has
that
sold
guy,
it.
Like, that's what I'm saying. He's going to hold on to it, and he's going to hold on to it, and then he's going to pass it on. They're going to hold on to it. And it's in perpetuity. Like, when do you actually get the benefit of it?
That's a good point. Somebody else has a bunch of the old G.I. Joe action figures from the 80s and 90s.
Wow.
Some of those have become, they're worth money.
A lot of people collect dolls, too. Vintage dolls.
Yep, absolutely. And this particular one he has is still in the package of the G.I. Joe. So, that's the weird thing about this collecting thing. I think there's a certain amount of people, though, and it's corny to act like that, that almost think that's like a geeky thing. But I don't necessarily think it's a geeky thing.
Actually,
you like what you like.
I collected Beanie Babies, but not
for your daughter. Your daughter's
my daughter wanted Beanie Babies, and we at the time like she'd have one a week. So I've got like this hamper full of Beanie Babies that are worth absolutely nothing.
Well, those might come back around.
You think so?
They
could.
They might.
Yeah, they might. come back around again.
If it was one of the rarer ones,
I had some rare ones. I scoured the earth. I bought one on the boardwalk with a Beanie Baby collector.
Oh, wow. Like a
and, right? The guy
like
had
a
some
deal? High,
yeah, he was like, these were like unusual, like not mass-produced.
Really?
Those you should hang on to.
Yeah, hang on to those.
Yeah, I know there was a Grateful Dead Beanie Baby.
Oh, yeah, I loved that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have a trunk full of them.
Get rid of the other ones. Hang on to those, the rare ones.
Yeah, so I can get rid of what I'm not going
to
throw them away.
No, that's one, give
see, that's one of those things.
Something.
What do you do with them?
You give them to Goodwill.
Goodwill?
Yeah.
I would insult Goodwill by giving them Beanie Babies.
No, you wouldn't. You'd
nobody
be
collects them anymore.
It might not be there for a collector. It may just be there for some child walking through Goodwill that it makes their day.
Okay.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. A couple open lines. Oh, Doug Peterson also went to the Bears camp.
Yeah. So he might be visiting all his old
don't
people.
Don't forget about me, Tor.
Maybe he's looking for a job.
Well, listen, he's sitting on $12 million. I would be looking for anything. I'd be looking for my television to be on. Mike Missinelli shows back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
247, Mike Missinelli Show. You know, this collecting thing has got me thinking now. You know what a lot of people collect without being a collector? Soy sauce packets. Duck sauce packets.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A sauce.
Hot mustard packets.
Hot mustard, yeah. I got all those in the house.
Yeah, they're in a little bag that they come in, and you just keep slipping them in, and you go, I'll never use these. Do you use them?
I end up using them.
Because when you order again, you get more. So you're like, you don't want use the ones you already had.
Well, sometimes when outsiders, when you're running around, because I live before work a lot of hours,
uh-huh.
We'll go to like and get like the prepackaged fried rice from like the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't come with anything.
Oh, so you put that
in. That's
put that on there.
Yeah.
See,
like, so busy time ends up, I end up using them in busy time. If I'm ordering regular, no, because you always get more, like you said. But if I have to go and do like an off-schedule meal, that's where you end up getting.
Yeah, used. See, I make a lot of stir fries for myself, which is a
great idea.
So I have a bottle of the soy. Like, I'll get a bottle of soy because I use it a lot rather than rip open a packet. You know,
see, I have a bottle.
And I mix the, you know, you mix.
And I still end up using the packet.
Do you really?
And I have a bottle, of the low sodium.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, there's a lot of, I still end up using the packet.
A little rice wine vinegar, a little soy, a little ginger. Make that stir fry sauce yourself.
Because in my mind, I'm like, well, if you don't use the packet, it'll go to waste. Mm-hmm. So don't open the bottle.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. We were taught, don't waste stuff.
Right.
So you are reluctant to throw those packs out. You're going, somebody can eat it.
There's so much salt in it, it will last forever.
It doesn't go bad. It's cured.
Somebody eat it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah,
don't throw away stuff. Don't throw away good, perfectly good food.
I'm starting to wonder. Is collecting something due to younger people? Because obviously not that all the callers in this hour so far have been old, but I don't think any of them are like 25.
Well, no, so young.
I'm asking. I don't know.
Younger,
that's a real question.
I think younger kids are collecting more than older people did.
You think?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, listen, there's older people that are collectors, actual collectors that make it their business to do it. But the majority of people, like if you're a kid, you don't buy baseball cards anymore. But if you get them, You don't use them. You preserve them. You collect them, right?
I mean, are they intentionally getting stuff? Like, there was times where, like, somewhere along the way, I switched from baseball to basketball cards, I guess, as I got more into basketball. So I wanted basketball cards all the time. Are there kids now that pick something? Beanie Babies a little bit
question.
Different.
I don't know. Would kids buy a pack of baseball cards?
On purpose.
Yeah,
if it found them and then they kept it. I'm talking about, did they set out? Like, there was times where if I got a little bit of money from shoveling the snow or whatever, some of that money would go to probably some CD player or music. And then the others would go towards buying more packs of a switch to basketball cards. And then I would set out to collect them, even though I didn't know what I didn't know what I was going to do with them. I just wanted them.
Yeah.
It was just something to have.
I don't know, Casby. That's a good question for younger people. You actually buy a pack of baseball cards? Because if you do, you're going to have to hold on to them for 50 years before they're worth anything, right? So you go, well, what's the point? Now, the kids don't think about 50 years down the road. Today's kids.
But I remember my boy Al Fisher. We're at the bus stop talking about the cars. And he would say, that's going to be worth money. So it was on our minds in the 90s. So the question is it on the people's mind? Like, was it on the mind of kids 10 years ago, let's say?
No, we were groping for things that were worth money back in the day.
Right.
These kids aren't groping for things that are worth money. Seriously, it's a different generation.
I'm just curious, because now are they going to start with these all these electronic things with like the codes and stuff? Are they going to be collecting those?
They're thinking about making apps. They're not thinking about collecting baseball cards. They're doing apps.
I just wonder.
Guy sent me a picture of it, and they used to do this back, the old school guys. They stick a baseball card. This is like a vintage Mickey Mantle card this guy just sent me. It's in a bike spoke with a clothespin.
A Mickey Mantle card.
One of Mom's clothespins. And you clamp it to the spokes, and when your bike runs, it goes brrrr.
I was aware that people did that, but not with a Mickey Mantle.
It looks like a vintage Mickey Mantle car. It looks like he's 19.
I know a kid that did that in the neighborhood, but he had like an Andrew Lang and a Tim Perry. Like, you don't do that with a real player. Like, even a Barkley back then, you did it with scrubs. Because Andrew Lang was never going to be worth money.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Jay, the collecting business is very strange. I love to hear from people who's your mom or your grandmother, or even your wife, or what do you collect at home? A lot of people collect stuff, man.
Yeah, that Gary Vee guy was talking about.
These hoarder shows survive on TV. You can't get rid of stuff. People can't get rid of stuff.
Real fast.
I used to have all these magazines.
It's hard sometimes.
My magazines are all gone.
This one guy collects all these Jack Daniels bottles.
Empty?
No.
Full?
They look full in the picture, and they're all these different kinds. Some are empty, too, but he's got both. I never thought to collect Jack Daniels bottles.
Wow.
He collects them. Pretty cool. It looks nice. Oh, somebody has their vintage lunchbox collection. They just sent me.
Oh, that's neat.
From the 60s and 80s, he says 30 of them are worth over $500.
Lunchboxes are worth stuff?
Oh, yeah. A piece, yeah. Yeah, if they have their thermoses, that's a big thing, though. It has to be complete, and it must have the thermos. No thermos.
The thermos was the best part.
If you don't have the thermos, it's not worth it.
First of all, hold on a second. Mikey Miz didn't have no lunchbox.
You only had a bag?
You didn't? Mikey
Miz was a brown paper bag. I never, ever had a lunchbox.
I had a lunchbox. You didn't have a lunchbox.
You're a privileged kid. Nah. I had no lunchbox. What's the point of having a lunchbox?
What do you mean?
Because
the thermos was in it. You get a little brown bag, you don't need a lunch.
What'd you have to drink?
Well, you get to drink at the cafeteria.
Nah, see, you were able to buy lunch at the cafeteria. No.
I get the
lunch
drink
from home.
You get the drink at the cafeteria.
The drink was Kool-Aid in the thermos that Mama made. No.
You had a thermos, lunchbox. I didn't know thermos. You can't even get thermos in a brown bag.
Well, you had to buy
it. You needed a lunchbox.
It's 6-1.
Silly. I used to ask for a lunchbox with like an action figure on it.
Yeah. I remember I had a Garfield.
They used to laugh at me.
I had a Garfield, and then next year
Need no lunchbox, is what I got told.
I got a Heathcliff.
Whoa.
Yeah, the Heathcliff. Oh, Heathcliff, watch out. I remember that.
I never had a book bag. I never had a backpack.
What?
I never had a lunchbox.
Never had a backpack?
Come
never.
On.
How do you carry your books?
I carry my books like a football.
Where's your pencil going? And your erasers?
They were in school.
No, you didn't carry that.
I didn't have a book bag. I used to carry my books like this.
I still
in
wear
a crux of my arm.
I still wear a backpack every day. Still.
Harnham Streets in Bristol.
Goodness.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. I forget, we get Tim McManus coming up a little later with his training camp report. The Eagles and the Patriots in a joint practice at the 3 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Corps Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie, hoagie, party trays, every bit as good. Well, guess what? The Mike Miss opens Thursday. Boy, I tell you what, it snuck up on us. Now, Jen, you are a golfer.
Let's not go that far.
Well, you have appeared on a golf course to play.
Maybe once or twice.
And so people were looking forward to you playing in the Mike Miss Open. And what are you doing? You having second thoughts here? Because you played poorly yesterday?
Poorly doesn't even explain it. Not even a small bit.
Yeah, it happens. Aaron Nola couldn't get through to sixth.
No.
it just happens.
I only played 9 holes yesterday, and it was atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. And so I left yesterday. I was going, there's no way I can play on Thursday. I will embarrass myself.
Well, you couldn't. Maybe you wouldn't embarrass yourself. Maybe it would be a snapback day. You know how they work.
I do know how they work.
Here's what you should do. You should get there a little early, go to the range, hit a few balls, and see how you're swinging it.
And then make the decision on Thursday?
You might be confident that you're hitting it good.
Maybe. I'm going to bring my clubs. I do want to go to the range no matter what, whether I play or not, but I don't know. Okay. It was so bad yesterday, Mike. So bad.
Yeah, I actually played yesterday with some fellas who purchased the one guy. We had a charity that was benefiting a cancer organization that John Kincaid was involved in, right?
Yes, indeed.
And so we were auctioning off ourselves to do stuff.
Yep.
And yesterday I played with guys. The guy's name is Brian Kelly, nice guy, and he bought the 9 and Dine package. It was supposed to be 9 holes and food afterwards, but instead we played 18. And had drinks afterwards.
Well,
that works.
That makes sense. The 9 and Dine is just a euphemism.
Yeah. So he brought two of his buddies, and we had a foursome out there. Now I got it. They were really nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Matt and Tom and Brian and myself. Now one of them, and it wasn't Brian or Tom.
Okay.
Brought one cigar.
What?
Just one?
Now, is that a violation?
Well, did the other two guys smoke cigars?
No.
So, what he thought was...
No, one. Yeah.
If these guys don't...
They actually did.
Okay, then it's a violation. If he... Because, let's say you smoke
cigars.
Well,
he knows that I smoke a cigar. Well, at the very least, he knows that I smoke.
He should have brought. But the thing is, Mike, I got to be honest. You're picky.
I'm not picky. You're picky. I'll smoke anybody's cigar.
You're picky about, I feel like you're picky about wine and cigars.
No.
But if given a gift.
I will have my personal favorites that I'll choose for myself. But if somebody's going to give me a cigar, I'll smoke it.
Yeah, if he brought it as a gift, you know, like, here, let's share a cigar.
I don't discriminate if somebody's going to give me a cigar. I'll smoke it right there.
Maybe he was thinking that he didn't.
I don't know. But he was such a nice guy, and he beat our ass. We're tied coming to 17 in a death match, and my man takes out a 4-iron, and he's 195 away. And I'm looking at him going, there's no way. And he blasts a 4-iron, and he hits it within like 10 feet, and he makes 4 and snakes us. That was the end of the match.
Wow.
That's a pretty good shot for a guy to bring one cigar, I told
him. Yeah, no, it's just clearly a violation for the bring
violation.
One. Come on,
man.
You got to bring 4.
Don't let that happen again, brother.
You got to bring 4, unless he's got beef.
I won't tell you who it is, Matt. All right, let's get back to the phones. Anthony and Ewing. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Anthony?
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I was in Ocean City all weekend, and I caught every Philly game. I hope... To make a little Godfather joke, if those umpires should get graded out, Sonny had a better shot at the airport, at the tunnel, the toll booth, than they had getting a job as a playoff ump or a World Series game. They were atrocious.
Why do you get carried away with the bad umpiring? I don't get carried away with it, Anthony. I don't get carried away. There's nothing you can do about it.
I know it, but listen. Girardi got thrown out in the 9th inning of the game Saturday night. You see that?
Yeah, and Harper got thrown out a couple games ago.
And then wait a minute. No, the very next Sunday morning, Sunday's game, the guy, the manager and the second batter for the Reds in the first inning get thrown out.
Yeah, I saw it. Castellano, you can't argue strike balls and strikes.
Yeah, but they were so bad that they forced them to argue.
Yeah, I get it. There's nothing you can do about it. I don't understand people arguing about balls and strikes. A, you're going to get tossed. B, you got the guy missed the call. Next pitch.
You know, in the game yesterday, did you see the score was 4-3 going to the 8th inning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Two balls.
Stevenson hit a home run. Yeah.
Right. No. The next pitch was a double off the wall. The next pitch was hitting the left center field bleachers.
Okay.
for a two-run homer.
Right, Steve.
The next thing you know, it's 7-3.
Yeah, I get it. What are you going to do about it? There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, guess what? If they have the box, when are they going to
all right, well, that's probably coming. That's probably what's going to... That's the wave of the future, the box.
Yes. Now, I have a thing for Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes through his baseball cards, the rookie cards are the most valuable cards. They have to
the
be
rookie cards.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the telegolf story, Mike, 3 or 4 years ago, I went to Cape May National with my sister-in-law and a good friend of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And we got completely monsooned after four holes. So I got a rain check. Went back to Jersey, put it in my wallet. The very next year we're on the beach, I tell my niece, I said, listen, could you call there and get me a tea time tomorrow morning? It was Sunday morning. I said, get something about 8:30. I show up 8 o'clock. The guy goes, do you want to hit some balls? I says, no, I'm just going to go out and play. He said, well, I got a twosome coming. You want to play with them? I says, yeah. They had orange shirts on with Falcons on, right?
Uh-huh.
I looked at him. I didn't say a thing. We go to the first tee, and I went to the old man. I went, you're Matty Ice's father, right? He went, yeah. And it was his son. They have an electrical contracting business in Philly, right?
Uh-huh.
So now I'm a little bit older than them. And
Anthony, you got to wrap this story up, right?
All right, look.
All right, got to get to the punchline.
All right, here we go. First hole, they say, want to play the blue tees? I says, yeah. I got 170 yards out. Hit a 5-iron, came over the top, snapped it a little bit. But it's going right to left, goes right on the green, right in the hole for a two.
Well, that's nice. I mean, that story took a long time. I'm sorry, you know. It was going to end up as a two. Maybe, you know, you can edit it a little bit.
Yeah.
It ended up in a two. You know? I made a two from 170. You know, whatever. You know, what he could have done. What?
Yeah. I'm aware of the rookie card thing. I looked it up.
Yeah.
I do have a Chris Webber rookie card. He was the first pick, which means I also have a Sean Bradley rookie card.
Because
I have the complete set from 93.
Uh-huh.
And that means I got a Penny Hardaway, a Monster Mash. But none of those guys are so transcendent to where I think they'll ever be. Vin Baker.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think any of my cards, speaking of my rookie cards, that I have others. But these are the ones I 100% know I have. None of them are going to be worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
George Lynch.
Yeah. Well,
Corey Blunt.
Yeah, they're not worth it.
Irvin Johnson. Not Magic Johnson.
Oh, Irvin from New Orleans.
Irvin from New Orleans Johnson. Yeah. I have his. Lucius Harris.
Oh, Lucius Harris.
Yeah, I got
Long Beach, Long Beach State.
George Mirosan. Bob Hurley. I have all these. Isaiah Ryder. I have all those rookies.
You probably have a good one in there somewhere. You got bring him in. We'll go over him.
I got to bring him in. But I know. I got to look. I have other ones, but this is the set. That's what my parents, I don't know how they did it. This was an upset. They bought me the whole complete set.
Yeah.
So I had every single card and every single player that year. And then my job was to take them out of the box and put them into the sleeve.
Wow.
Never to be seen again.
Wow, you took care of them. By the way, I heard a joke this week on the golf course.
All right.
I'll throw it out there, see how you like it. So there's a guy, he's driving around in farmlands, and he sees a sign that says, talking dog, $10. He goes, talking dog, $10. He goes down this dirt road, he sees this little farm, there's a sign, talking dog, $10. He goes in there, the owner of the farm, he sees the owner of the farm, he goes, you got a talking dog here for $10? He goes, yeah, he's in the back. Go see him. And he walks around in the back, sure enough, there's a dog. He goes, you're a talking dog? And the dog goes, yes, sir. And he says, well, what are you doing? Like, how'd you end up here? He goes, I went to college, I got a degree in electrical engineering, and then I went to the military, I did serve a tour in Afghanistan, and then I went to the FBI, and once I retired from the FBI, I just started to come out here to the farms and just chill. He goes, wow, that's amazing. So he goes, he finds the owner again. He goes, you're selling this dog for $10? He goes, yeah. He goes, why are you selling for $10? He goes, all that stuff he told you, the dog's a freaking liar. He didn't do any of that.
That's pretty good.
Giggle, giggle.
That's not terrible. That's not terrible. You know what it'd be? No, that was not bad. Even better if I had one or two pops. One or two drinks, and that one's a good one. That one really, really get me sober.
Dog's a liar. He didn't do any of that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. See, I wish I could come up with jokes like those. My brain doesn't work like that for those kind of jokes. That's a well-developed joke. It was telling a story. I had it pictured in my mind of him walking around and talking to the dog, and the dog laying out what he did.
Yeah.
And then he come back around, tell him he's a liar.
Yeah, because,
It was good. It's good. It's good.
The owner didn't think he was worth anything. Yeah, he just lied about his whole life.
He didn't do any of that. He's born here on the storm.
I'm laughing more about it now than I did in the beginning.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Jim in South Philly. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Jim?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
We spoke a couple of weeks ago. I told you that you couldn't really predict the Phillies winning that game against the Nationals. And I also said that the Braves were going to win a division.
Yeah, I said the Phillies are going to overtake the Braves after the Braves briefly land in first place here.
Well, we'll disagree there, brother.
Well, let's do this logically, okay? All right, here are the opponents. Three in Arizona. Now, how many are they going to lose there?
They're going to lose two.
See, that's ridiculous.
No,
Arizona doesn't even have a starter listed yet. They're not going to lose two to the... What? Now, what? You're just being negative.
No, I'm not being negative.
Play with me. Logically, they're going to win two or three. They're not going to lose two or three to Arizona.
Michael,
all right?
I know the Phillies.
See, you're a miserable. I knew it. You're a Philly miserable fan.
No.
Always expecting the worst.
Really, I'm not.
Yes, you are. If you're going to tell me you're going to lose two or three to Arizona, you're a miserable.
Well, okay.
All right, let's go. Arizona 3, San Diego 3. They're going to win one of those. Right? So now they're 3-3. Tampa Bay, 2 games. They're going to split. Then 4 Arizona at home, 3 at Washington, 3 at Miami. Come on.
Man, Mike, I watch you every day, and I don't believe the change that you made.
What change? Right, I'm doing right it logically. Here. These teams stink.
These
are awful teams. The Phillies aren't going to lose to these awful teams.
The Phillies aren't good.
No, I'm not saying they're good. What I'm saying is they're not going to lose to these awful teams. The Braves' schedule is a lot tougher than the Phillies. The Phillies are going to win more games than the Braves. Stop being a miserable.
Okay, let's get off that. I'm not a miserable. All right?
Yes, you are.
Let's get off that. Let's go to Aaron Nola.
Go to Aaron Nola.
He's the number 4 starter on a good team.
Okay. I'll agree
with that.
That's
about it.
All right. Nobody's saying differently. You're not coming up with any revelations here, Jim. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody's saying Aaron Nola's great right now.
Well,
what are you going to do about it? What's the point of you being miserable?
I can't do nothing about it, and I'm not miserable because I expect what I expect.
But dude, you're like this guy. There's a cloud that follows you. They're going to lose two or three to Arizona because they stink. And Aaron Nola, he stinks. Come on.
You know, that's not me.
What do you want to say about baseball cards?
That's not me. I want to tell you something.
What?
And I don't want to get long-winded. Back in the 60s, we used to go to the Warwick Hotel on Saturdays because all the visiting teams stayed there.
Uh-huh.
And we used to take the PTC, the bus, to go there and used to get the autographs. I had them all.
So what happened to them?
I don't know what the hell happened to them. I went to the Navy in 72. I don't know what.
Well, what's the point of you telling me you had them all?
Because I did. I had Clemente.
You got rid of him.
You
screwed up.
I had McCovey. What are
we going to do? Should we go back in time? I tell you, let's go back in time so you don't get rid of him.
No. I didn't have any control over that.
We made him have any control. How to get rid of him then?
He went to the Navy and somebody died on him. Imagine that. He's serving the country. Somebody throws away his stuff.
What do you mean? That's what happened to my
typical guy, though. You're going to lose 2-3. And Arizona Diamondbacks couldn't beat a team in a Little League World Series 2 out of 3 right now. They don't have pitchers listed. They're trying to pick a pitcher to pitch in these two games that are upcoming.
That was like that.
The worst team in the league.
They're terrible.
They have 7 games against the worst team in the league. Now, Listen, I bet you remember earlier this season they would lose to these teams. They're not going to lose to these teams. Now, these teams don't want to win.
They're trying
they don't even
to
care about winning.
They're trying
exactly,
to lose.
Exactly.
Like they're making moves looking to lose. Early in the year, the owners would just let it happen in the GMs early. Let's see what happens. Once they see what happens, once they saw how it played out, these teams are trying to lose.
I can't imagine the Phillies won't sweep them in Arizona, but we'll give them one game, one fluke game. Two, they win one in San Diego. They win one against Tampa Bay. They win three of four, if not all four, at home against Arizona. Washington is just giving up like I've never seen anything. Joe Ross needs Tommy John surgery again. That's at least two there. Should be three. And three at Miami, that's at least two.
And I don't think it's necessarily a lock that they definitely lose two or three to the Padres. They have struggled lately.
All right, so that's at least 11 wins they have coming to them over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, like in fact, let's say they can pull off the sweep, let's just say for a second, there's a chance where they could go into that Padres series to catch them for the wild card. That's how much the Padres have struggled. That's more of a symptom of how the Padres, for some reason, have hit the skids more than anything. The Phillies doing anything right. Padres have struggled.
Now,
so nothing, that's not a murderer's row schedule, even though it's on the road.
They're going to lose at least two in Milwaukee. Okay.
Yeah.
The Colorado Rockies are god awful. Four games with them at home. The Cubs, god awful. Three games with them at home.
I mean,
and at the Mets, who are dead by then, and the Orioles in Pittsburgh for seven.
And the thing about you're a Mets fan, you lose to the Phillies and those guys come out and say, oh, we're about to turn it around. And then they come off with a sweep. And then they immediately get swept after that.
Yeah.
Like they're just, it must be terrible to be a Mets fan.
Yeah.
You got to hate your life being a Mets fan. They sweep, so you think, uh-oh, here they go. Here they're going to go to the streak. And then they give all three games right back. The Phillies picked up a game on the Mets over the weekend, even though they only won one of three. They picked up a game on the Mets. They extended the lead over them. Those Mets. Mm-hmm. They're going to be super dead by the time that series comes.
All right. See, older people that follow the Phillies have go to extremes. Because I understand you have this, like, you know, this festering pain in there. You know? But there have been really good moments in your lifetime recently. But the Phillies, you know, that era, that was good baseball. I know it's been a while. But you can't just round it off and say they stink because they lost two or three to Cincinnati, and Aaron Nola didn't come through.
The old school baseball fan.
They're just polluted. They're polluted with the depression and, you know.
My wife's uncle's like that. The one who lost his cards. He's like that. They lose a game. See?
They stink.
They stink. And now look what's happening there. Now between Nola and everybody else, who they got pitching on the road? And I guarantee he's talked him into he's talked himself into 0-6. I guarantee he's talked himself into 0-6 coming up.
You know, and they also they don't realize they can't change certain things. Like a day later you're gonna complain about the umpire. You can't change that. It's a result you can't change, right? The guy missed a couple calls, it cost you. During the course of a season, you're probably going to get a couple calls that help you.
Yeah.
It's never one-sided.
It'll balance out over the 160.
Exactly.
I don't think you can watch baseball game by game white-knuckling it. But the older guys do. I think you have to be able to digest baseball in larger bites.
And
I've been guilty of it at
times. Things you cannot change. Who does that song?
What song is that?
Yeah, things you cannot change. Like, who does that song? It's a rock song.
I don't know what song you're singing.
Yeah, you do. Come on, Jen.
I don't know what you're singing.
Where is it? Somebody will get that.
You got to give me
who
some other
that?
Verses.
It's like a twangy.
I didn't know you. So you're doing Skitter? It? That's Freebird?
Yeah, that's right. That's Freebird.
Oh,
yeah,
but you
I
did
didn't
not
know.
Just sing Freebird.
I didn't know you were doing Freebird.
And these things you cannot change.
Yeah.
That's Freebird.
No, well, it is, but it wasn't when you were singing it.
Well, I had one line. I mean, I wasn't going to do the whole verse.
That's
like Ronnie Van Zant over here.
That's a song you do if people are getting on your nerves when you're at a bar at the jukebox. You play Freebird because it takes forever just to break up their terribleness. Like if somebody pays 27 straight country songs, let me priority play Freebird and break this up.
Well, the country people probably like to hear the Freebird.
No.
Yeah?
You'd be surprised.
Huh.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, so here's how you get in. 610-620-975. So I tuned into this new show last night that people were raving about on Netflix. It's called... it's got the word sex in it.
Sex life.
Yeah, sex life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been watching this?
I have not seen it.
I haven't seen it. I heard a lot about it.
Yeah. So I saw the first episode last night.
You haven't gotten to the episode, though, yet.
Well, there's the episode.
Oh, yes, there is the episode.
All right, so the premise is it's a very attractive lady who's married and has a couple of kids, but she longs for the days when she was a wild child because the husband doesn't pay that much attention to her, and the ex-boyfriend, wild child accompaniment moves into the area. Is that what the premise is?
Something like that. And yeah. That's her man in real life.
Oh, it is?
She recently got divorced to the guy that was on Shameless, and now she's with that guy in real life, which leads to some of that chemistry because they're together for real.
This is a chemistry thing? Because the first episode, he didn't want anything to do with her.
Well, you're
watching a football game as he's in bed.
No, I'm not talking about the husband.
Oh.
The guy.
Oh, the new guy coming
that's
in.
That's her boyfriend in real life.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wait a minute, Jen, are you digging this show? Life. Have you seen more than one?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, you haven't?
But you need to get to the third episode. That is the episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody's talking about it.
Yes.
Huh.
Because there's some, no, I don't even want to spoil it.
Right,
everybody's talking about it. People that know.
It's an interesting little premise because, you know, there's a lot of ladies out there that I'm sure, like, long for the old day where, you know, life doesn't become mundane and it was, you know, your brain goes back to when, before you were burdened with all these managerial things.
Well, for all the women that are thinking out there like that, remember, that dude might be unemployed. It's good to have a roof over your head. Hey, it's so exciting. No, wondering where you're going to get your next meal. That is awfully exciting, but is it good?
I don't know. I'm just, it was the first episode I watched last night.
I got you.
The guy was watching the football game, the husband.
Well.
That's rude.
Well,
he was moving his head over here. Like,
football's on.
Come on, man.
Can't do that.
Get to halftime. Commercial.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
That hot?
Yeah.
The weekend was hot.
Yeah, it really was. Did you do anything exciting, Jen?
Yes, I worked with our sister station, one of our sister stations, all day Saturday.
It was some kind of a festival of sorts, right?
Concert, yep.
Yeah.
That was a long, long Saturday, but it was good. It was fun.
Country concert?
Yes, it was.
And who was it?
Jason Aldean was the headliner.
Don't know.
You don't?
No, I've heard of him.
It was good. It was a really fun day. It was great. And then golf yesterday. So it was a great day Saturday, not a great day Sunday.
You play with your friends?
Yeah, I played with my one friend, Mary Kay. We only played nine holes.
How did Mary Kay play?
About as well as I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So at least we were on the same page.
All right. Well, you never know about golf.
It was a beautiful day yesterday. We had a lot of fun.
A little hot out there.
It was nice, though, out on the course.
I was down at Shore playing the Ron Jaworski Blue Heron.
Oh, nice. That's good. It's a good spot.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
You're a CIO guy, right?
No.
Is La Costa still open?
Who?
No.
It's
open, but it's something else.
Oh, it's called something else. Okay. Yeah. I did meet a listener at the concert on Saturday, and he said he worked at La Costa, and I thought about it later. I was like, I thought La Costa.
It's called something else now.
Okay. Well, hi, Tucker. I know they watch every day.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, well, let me find out what it...
Is it just under new management? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, it's the same place. It's under new management. It's affiliated with some kind of hotel.
Well, yeah, La Costa had a hotel attached to it, didn't it?
Yeah, but it's like, hold on a second. I'll get it for you. it doesn't have it.
All right. Well, I was just curious. I thought it turned into something else.
Yeah, it's not closed.
All right.
Okay, so it's time for the Twitter poll update, and the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Jen, what do the numbers say?
So we're talking about collecting things today, and a lot of people are posting pictures of the things they collect, which is kind of neat. So with a baseball card being sold for over $6 million, have you ever collected anything? Baseball cards, shot glasses, stamps, salt and pepper shakers, etc. No, it never kept stuff. It sits at 17%, and yes, collected things at 82%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never collected anything. I feel left out. I'm like that, though. I'm not a picture guy, not a collector guy. You know?
We can find something for you to collect.
It makes me odd. Like, I don't look at the past or look at the future.
But you know, some of the collecting you
live
do,
in the moment.
No, but some of the collecting you do is in the present. Like you're in.
I know, but that's looking to the future. If, no. If you're collecting, you're looking to the future.
No, like when I'm in San Diego for the first time, I'm definitely going to buy a shot glass because I'm there.
Well, you collect shot glasses,
right? But I'm not thinking about there's going to be monetary value in it. I'm just going to get a San Diego shot glass when I'm there.
There won't be any monetary value in it.
But I'm not even thinking about that. I'm just going
to
have it.
Yeah, to me, that's just like that's more stuff that I got put on a shelf.
Right, but I have a shelf for it.
I'm trying to get rid of shelves. I'm trying to like Gus Spartan.
All right.
You know, I want to have more space instead of clutter. I'm in this weird state
where
I'm getting rid of everything.
Well, all right.
I'm with you.
Make it easier.
I think collecting is nice.
To assemble my stuff when I go to the Great Beyond.
Yeah, but
they don't have to ferret through stuff.
See, but I disagree with that of a man with your stature.
What?
Man, if they go through the Mike Missinelli estate, there should be some stuff.
Nothing.
They shouldn't go into the Mike Missinelli estate and see nothing.
I've got nothing.
Man, like, okay, I was watching something on PBS on Saturday. It came on. Was it before the Phillies? After? It was about Frank Sinatra. Now, you can't go into the Frank Sinatra estate. And there'd be nothing.
Frank's different. He's been all over the world. He's been in the rap pack.
You've been to Egypt. You've been to Italy.
Marilyn Monroe.
You've been to India.
That guy's had a life.
You've been to India.
Schlepping around.
No. You've been in all these places. No. The Mike Missinelli estate should have some stuff. It shouldn't be empty. That doesn't seem right to me.
It's just I collected in my head, and that's good enough for me.
That's not good enough for the estate.
Well,
to tell the tale. Your daughter can tell. See, this is when he was going around doing this show.
I never thought that I would have some kind of an estate that people would look at.
You don't have anything from PHL 17?
Yeah. I got like a poster.
All right.
On the news, you know.
You should have something from the rock station, from New York. You should have something from every place.
Yeah, I don't.
You should. You've had a long run. It feels weird to me.
It's weird to me, too, but I'm a weirdo.
No, you should have stuff.
I have a t-shirt from every radio station.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Definitely.
I don't.
And so I guess maybe I collect t-shirts.
I got a great sports debate t-shirt.
There you go.
I had a Monday Night Live with Ricky Waters t-shirt, I think. Like, I got stuff. But it's like, it's all scattered around. It's not like organized.
It's not necessarily a collection.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, speaking of collectors, this Michael Rubin's a collector. He collects celebrities.
Well, not just celebrities.
You see what he's doing here?
Yeah, I did see.
He's partnered with Jay-Z.
Yep.
For an online sports betting license in New York to form Fanatic Sportsbook.
You know, super smart by him. That's where it's going.
He likes celebrity friends. He likes celebrity friends.
Well, no, remember, they put in for the car for, it was Jay-Z
for Robert Kraft. Yeah,
so they've been tight. They hang out. They're actually friends. It's a smart business move. I'm interested, not so much in Michael Rubin's part of it. I kind of know what he's going to do. The Jay-Z part of it. I got to be careful. I was talking to somebody about what's going on in Brooklyn right now and things like that. And there are some people who suggest that Jay-Z has become just a regular billionaire and not what he claimed he set out to be a different type of billionaire.
Like the billionaire who made a difference for his people?
Yes. There are people who are making that because of the landscape of Brooklyn where he grew up right now.
Yeah.
And they're saying that he played a big part in gentrifying and pushing people out. And now the question would be, with this business, which will be in New York, with sports, what it will look like. Yeah. And there are people who are not really questioning Michael Rubin in any way, shape, or form. They're already questioning Jay-Z.
Interesting.
And I'm not up there, but I talk to people that are up there, and I mean, it's not going to affect Jay-Z's money, but it would affect Jay-Z's legacy when he's not rapping. And he doesn't rap that often. So it's more and more about when he's not rapping. So I'm interested in what this business ends up looking like. Is it just another sports book,
or is it different like he initially claimed it would be different?
Yeah, interesting.
So, yeah.
You know, Spike Lee's got a new joint coming out, right? About Brooklyn? Mm-hmm. It's going to be on HBO. Have you seen this?
I did not, no. I will watch it.
Yeah, it's about Brooklyn making a comeback, New York making a comeback. It's called NYC Epicenters, 9/11 to 2021 and a half. So it's chronicles the 9/11, how it affected New York City, and also how the pandemic did.
It's interesting. Yeah, the census data came out, and New York added like 600,000 people when the thought was people with working from home and all that kind of stuff, people didn't need cities anymore, and everybody would leave, and that turned out to factually be incorrect. I'm interested in how Spike puts it all together. I'll watch it.
Yeah. A lot of celebrities are involved in this. They're getting interviewed. Including Fauci, who was born in Brooklyn Hospital.
Yeah. You can hear
it. Let's go to Bill in Springfield. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Mike. Oh, my goodness. There's been a lot of different topics. So to go to one of the random topics, I thought the caller's advice a couple of calls ago you got to look for the rookie cards. That's the key to baseball. I thought that was a revelation.
Yeah. are you mocking one of our callers?
No. I would never do that.
I think you're mocking him a little bit.
I'm going to, you know, my entire hobby is going to be changed by this. And then to go back to your school, and now I lied to your producer because I told him I was going to talk about Ranger Suarez, but whatever.
You can't lie to producer, so you better mix something in about Ranger.
Okay, I will. But, all right. But to go back to your school point, the reason you didn't have to carry anything is because we kept them in the desks. If you remember, they had the desks where you could put all your books and your pencils. Nowadays, they don't have that.
I did homework. I took my books home, do homework. I took them home every night.
No.
Yeah.
No,
boy, I don't know what kind of student you are. I took home my books. That's why I carry my books. You know what? One thing I did have, I had one of them straps. It was like an elastic strap that I would tie
together. Yeah. All right. The last thing I have to say.
Tyrone,
okay.
I tell you. Tyrone sees me come in every day. Tyrone, what do I have every day? What do I carry on my shoulder?
Well, you got that bag.
I got a leather coach bag.
Yeah.
Because I never had a bag ever. And I carry all my stuff in a bag now. Well,
I got one last point. It's not Ranger Suarez, but you were at the tournament. The kid didn't have a cigar for you.
No. He only had one cigar. He only brought one cigar for him.
Why didn't you bring your own?
I did. I gave the other two my cigars.
Oh, all right.
I had cigars. I had cigars. I was covered. I always have my cigars in there. I brought cigars because of the fellas. I didn't know they were going to bring cigars. I found out my man brought one. For him.
That's a violation.
Come on.
Now, if you only have one cigar in your bag and you know you're playing, you got to get a couple more, don't you have to?
Yeah.
You got to go to the liquor store, whatever, whoever has them.
Stop and get something.
Get a couple.
Right.
Yeah.
Or don't pull it out.
One has one.
Right. Don't smoke
no
it at
one
all.
Has one.
Yeah. I said to him, because I had a cigar. I was like, you guys smoke cigars? He goes, yeah, I have one. I go, huh? You got one? He goes, yeah. I go, okay. So I gave the other guys too.
Yeah, that's odd. It's a little odd.
All right, 610-632-0975. We have a couple open lines. Good time to get in. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
3:48, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Waiting 4:30 to get the first report on the Eagles and Patriots. There was a big collision today, right?
It
was Avante Maddox collided with another Eagle. Friendly fire collision.
No, I've seen all the notes. I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was a friendly fire collision. We'll get the lowdown on what that was with Tim McManus. I forget who it was involved with. Oh, it was Slay. I think it was Slay and Maddox collided.
Oh, all right.
and they both were, you know, were woozy.
That's not great.
No. 610-632-0975. Anyway, Timmy's coming on at 4:30. You can climb in that way. By the way, the Mike Mussnally Open is sold out for Thursday. However, the bidding is still open for the foursome that is to play with me. And that foursome, that bidding will end at 4 o'clock. So if you have
10 minutes.
Yeah. So if you want to, if you're holding on to the last minute to get the highest bid in there, because portions of the proceeds benefit the American Association for Cancer Research. Cancer Research saves lives. And that's a good cause. So the bidding to play in the foursome, that money will go to charity and you won't feel bad about playing with a schmo like me. So get to 975thefanatic.com. for complete details, and you want to slide in a bid in the last second that closes at 4 o'clock today. All right, let's go to Terrell and Marlton. What's up, Terrell?
Mikey, Miss, how are you?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. I had to call in. You're talking about the collection craze.
Yes, sir.
I am a huge comic book collector. I have a lot of books.
You and Tyrone. Now, how far do yours go back?
I go back to the late 60s, and I have a lot of great books from the 70s and 80s. I kind of stopped collecting, like, let's say, like 1999.
All right, now, Terrell, let me ask you a question. These late 60s comic books, right? Now, you were obviously reading those, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so those ones, when did you really discover that the comic book were a collectible item that would serve you well in the future? When did you start binding them or putting them in cellophane or whatever?
When I started attending what we call comic book conventions, like a real big one called the San Diego Comic Con, and I would walk around and say, hey, that book is worth a lot of money. I have those books.
Ah.
So I better start keeping them and making sure they're in good condition.
You went to Comic Con to buy some more?
Yeah, I would buy some more, or I would trade some. But normally, okay. I used to get my books from 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven used to sell comic books like crazy back in the day.
Yeah. All right. So, how many do you have in your collection?
If I had to, let's say, I want to say roughly maybe 2,500.
Now that's interesting. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with them? Are you going to pass those on to future generations, or are you going to sell them and maybe put somebody through college? Like, what's the idea behind it?
I would probably end up passing them down to my daughter, you know, creating that generational wealth.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. The passing down. Like, when does it end where you actually cash in?
But see, here's the thing. If you really want to make money, I would suggest get your books appraised and try to sell them through an auction, because I found that if I was to take, let's say I had a book worth $500 to a regular mom and pop comic book shop, they'll give me $100 for it. Then when I go back 2 weeks later, they're selling it for $1,000. So that kind of stuff you got to really watch out for. You really just got to do your research.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Tyrone, where your collection starts where?
In the 80s.
In the 80s. So
my uncle
where your,
helped me out.
Your uncle helped you out.
Yeah.
What was your go-to collection comic?
X-Men. Yeah.
Okay.
That was X-Men, but that was the main one.
No, Superman, Batman?
No, not for me. X-Men, Spider-Man. X-Men, Spider-Man. Little Superman. And then some of the graphic novels as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there used to be these books where they would compile. These are pretty rare. Like, they would almost do stats on all the comic book characters.
Uh-huh.
They would do height, weight, their powers, like all these things. And I have a bunch of those. And those became big for me.
Did you right away preserve them?
No.
You were reading them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I wouldn't sell them.
Okay.
The cards I would sell today.
Really?
The comic
books because you think they're going to be worth more.
No. I just
to have them.
Yeah. Huh. I'll never sell them. I mean, I guess if somebody came in and offered me like $1 million, but like, I'm never going to look to sell them.
Yeah.
Okay. That also just helped me. It probably helped me with this job and stuff. I don't know. It opened up a part of my brain. Because reading for school is work.
Yeah. Is it a violation to say that I used to read Archie comics?
No.
Not at all.
Read whatever you want to read.
I read Archie comics.
Yeah. Why would that be a violation?
I don't know.
No, it's good. If you like it,
Archie,
you like it.
Archie, Jughead, and Veronica, and Betty.
They were entertaining, right?
Yeah. My uncle, the one who got me started in comics, my brother and I asked him how many he has. He has a little bit more than 6,500.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's real deal. I have 1,000.
1,000 is a lot.
Wow, 1,000.
That's amazing.
He has 6,500.
Oh, my God.
He has like, maybe I have like 800.
Mm-hmm.
He has 6,500. A little more than 6,500 comics.
By the way, for the record, as we go into the break, was I a Betty or a Veronica man?
Veronica?
Nope.
Oh, you were a Betty man?
Betty was blonde.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Shocking.
You like the blondes, huh?
Well, in that context, I did. She was
in every context.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I would say in every context.
No, not in every context. She was the girl next door blonde like Christy Brinkley was. Veronica was vampier.
All right, but...
She scared me a little.
Oh, yeah. That's, okay.
It's 1-0-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landispc.com. Tim McManus, 4:30, training camp report. Meanwhile, we haven't touched on the Sixers yet. What is the latest deal that you're hearing, Tyrone? Because there's a story I'm reading about the Grizzlies just got moved some players. The Clippers moved some players to create some cap space to the Grizzlies. And the story is that Woj is reporting that maybe one of those guys could be rerouted. And maybe the Sixers could be interested in either Rajon Rondo or Patrick Beverley. How are you feeling about that, first of all? And what deals are you hearing for Ben Simmons?
Well, I hear that the Sixers are waiting on the Dame thing. And they're not going to do anything until there's official word on what Dame's going to do, which is smart. Which is smart.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's still going to be the main thing with them. As far as George Hill didn't work out. I like Rondo in a playoff situation. And like Beverly, if he can keep his emotions in check. But the problem is, Maxey, it has to be a fair competition. Yeah, I don't want a guy to win a job just because of their name. And Maxey looks like he can play. And we thought he's going to develop. What if he's ready? I don't want him taking minutes because of minutes away from him.
See, in that case, I think you're right about that. So that's why I would not be interested in Rondo. Beverly, I can kamikaze him on defense for a little bit.
You can.
So that would be at least a role that I could use him in.
But he gets angry.
Well, he does, yeah.
And he want to play that role? If Maxey's getting more minutes and he has a specific role, is he going to have an attitude?
He probably will. But I go, what's Rondo give me? What's Beverly give me? I can count on Beverly giving me this.
Now, yeah, he gives you great defense.
We put up with Dwight Howard in that nonsense all last year.
That's true.
You have to probably, do the same thing here with this guy.
Yeah. I would take him. I would take him. And playoff Rondo, if I could only take Rondo for just the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
it'd be better. He's a very high basketball IQ. Embiid has a very high basketball IQ. Ben Simmons, we never hear that about him. Not that he doesn't, but we never hear it.
Yeah.
That he has the high basketball IQ. We never hear that. So having more smart guys in your locker room, to me, is never a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Sixers, apparently there's some King stuff out there. There's still the Warriors still would be interested. But like Keith Pompey said last week, I don't think the Sixers are going to do anything until closer to the season to find out what Dame says. Because Dame, I think, is still giving Portland a chance to upgrade that roster there.
Yeah.
But it appears that GM truly believes that they were just a coach away. Which is stupid. They're going to lose him. But in his mind, he thinks, what are you talking about? I gave you a great team, Dame.
Yeah.
It's just the guy couldn't coach. And Chauncey's going to solve everything while Dame's already on record as saying, I didn't think we were just a coach away. So I think he's trying to do his best to give them a chance to do something. Like, y'all going to make a trade, right?
Yeah.
And then if they don't, I think at that point he says, I want out. I want to go to the East. The Knicks cannot trade for him right now due to the dumb moves they made. They couldn't trade for him until December. That gives the Sixers an advantage in the middle of next month.
I love just sitting here waiting, knowing that they're cooking something. And they're not just going to, like, do nothing. And a lot of people are afraid of that. Well, he's just going to give them away. No, come here. No, I just, these people are too savvy to just give them away. They're working on something. I truly believe it. I believe at the end of the day, we're going to be satisfied.
I think they have a plan. A is Dame, obviously. But I think they do have a plan B and C. And the other part is Maxey playing the first two games and then them giving him the permission to go do his camp.
Yeah.
You know what that else that preserves? He didn't turn an ankle.
Yeah.
He didn't tear an ACL.
True.
I just wonder if it's a coincidence that he got some work in, so he got the practices in. He got some game action. He showed.
Get him out of it.
I'm better than these. I'm too good.
No need for him to play.
Go ahead out to that camp with your dad and help out a bunch of youth.
Exactly.
And do nice and soft stuff. I don't need you.
Yeah, there's no question.
And I don't think that's a coincidence, so that if he has to be included in a deal, he's a healthy piece.
Yep.
And then let B-Ball Paul really flourish for whatever it's worth. Getting 2020. Getting 20-20 is something.
He's flourishing.
This dude can play.
Yeah, he can.
They got Doc, he was like, I don't trust him. You better find a way to trust him this year, Doc.
Yeah.
You got to do something different.
He'll play this year.
I don't know what. And also, Isaiah Joe should be in front of Court Miles. I've seen enough. I trust him more. All right. First of all, defensively, he's better than Court Miles, and I'm telling you, he's a better shooter. He better be in front of Court Miles. No more Court Miles.
Paying Corky $5 million. You're paying Jason Capono $6 million?
Listen.
What?
All I'm saying is, I'm not saying cut Court Miles. I'm saying when I start the season.
To $5 million?
Nah, that's small.
For nothing.
Small. That's not a lot of money in this parlance. That's like a Capono $1 million.
It's more than Maxey's making. It's more than Isaiah Joe's making.
It is, but I can't. Joe's better. I'm telling you, I'm looking at my eyes. He's a better basketball player.
How are you going to learn? Doc loves this kid. Doc loves Cork Miles.
Joe
for some
can
reason.
Shoot it, and he can defend better.
He doesn't love Joe like he loves Corky.
Well, I need him. This is where I need Doc. Doc has to. He coached that bad debacle. Now, it was Ben's fault, but he coached that debacle. He's got to make some adjustments. And one of the main adjustments he can make is trusting the young guys in year two.
I gotcha. I'm with you.
In year two.
This is Doc. He goes to a veteran guy who's seen make a couple threes.
But Isaiah Joe's going to make more. I'm telling you, his stroke is pure.
Trust him.
He's a pure shooter.
Let's not trust him. A lot of people are chiming in with what they collect. Hot Wheels.
Oh,
that's a big one. Yeah.
That's an interesting collection. Yeah. Poker chips.
Oh.
From different casinos.
Oh, that makes sense. That. Yeah.
I don't collect it consciously, but I do bring home a monetary element from other countries.
Right, like currency from...
Yeah, currency.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, like a rupee.
Or a
euro.
Under our Twitter poll, somebody posted a $1 trillion, $1 trillion Zimbabwe dollar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I didn't know that
existed.
What
that accounts for.
He said it would buy a couple groceries. A trillion.
Yep. That's weird. Why do they go big?
I don't know. Strange, right?
Yeah. Even lira.
Oh, it was 100
trillion.
100 trillion. 100 trillion Zimbabwe dollars.
That's $70.
Used to do that too.
That's $70.
Yeah. All right. This one other guy says his wife collects Jameson bottles. But he says she's Irish and she drank them all. Is that a violation?
No.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Jameson bottles. You collect it with the liquor in it.
No.
It's the bottle. It's like collecting beer cans on your shelf.
No, it's not like beer cans.
Come on, man. You got to have the Jameson in it.
Nah.
Buy a bottle, keep a bottle. Drink a bottle, keep a bottle.
I don't know. That can get
expensive. It's almost like bringing one cigar to a golf course. Oh, look who we have on the line.
Oh.
Oh, it's the man that I played golf with yesterday. Matt from Westchester checking in. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Good. How you doing? Did you get harangued today?
I love it. Yeah, BK called me and said you were hassling me, and I wanted to own up to the violation.
Yeah, so listen, this is very admirable of you to own up to the violation. So what would, give me the background on how just one cigar got into your golf bag. we didn't talk about it.
I have a humidor, but I was on vacation in Charleston the week before and got home, and I only had one cigar in the humidor. I need to replenish. But I did call out that I was selfish and only brought one cigar for
myself.
Well,
hold a second. Tyrone, let's get into the facts here. When did you come back from Charleston?
Friday night.
Friday night. So all day Saturday was a day, right?
Yeah, wife was working.
And so you were playing Sunday with me. Saturday, what happened in your little town? All the cigar stores were closed that day? What was up?
Wife was working. I had the kids. I got to mow the lawn.
You can't bring the kids into the cigar store? Come on. They'll stink. All right, man. Listen, I was just busting your stones. I did laud you for the shot. Now, how far were you away here?
That was just under 200.
It's just under 200. You pull a 4-iron out of your bag. I'm going, what, dude? Well, now, you made a pure stroke on it, but I'm just wondering, like, that was the club you were committed to? The 4-iron for 196 yards?
Yeah, going for the throat. You know, we had to shut it down. I was screaming about that shot.
Dude, my heart jumped out of my chest. I got to be honest with you. That was the greatest good shot that I was disappointed with ever.
I appreciate it, man. I still got your $10 in my pocket.
Yeah, that was the worst part. I had to give up the 10 after that shot. Well, listen, man, it was fun playing with you guys. You guys were a blast.
Yeah, you too, man. I appreciate it, Mike.
All right, next time, bring a cigar. All right?
That's right.
Okay, you got it. There he is. Hey, it's a violation still.
Yeah. He owned up to it, though.
That's a violation.
He tried to alibi, oh, I had the kids. Like, he can't put the kids in a car and go. Yeah. Go to a convenience store.
I play golf with another buddy of mine who smokes cigars together all the time at a golf course on Saturday at a place called Penn Oaks out there in Westchester. And he had two little thin cigars.
Well, I mean. Maybe he felt a certain way. You're picky.
Your thin cigar was no good?
You can't do a thin cigar?
You can, but you don't bring a thin cigar like a... It's like a Tipperello type of thing.
Oh, like a Philly blunt? Like, I'm trying to understand. Like,
come on, I go, dude, what? Because that's all I got today. Come on, man.
Well, that might have been all he had. At least he brought one for you. So you guys were both slumming together with your blunt.
I don't know if he brought one for me. Because he knows I wouldn't have smoked that thing. Because I got my own stash. I'll smoke my own stash if we're going to smoke a thin little, you know.
Well.
Little, you know, the thing as big as a cigarette.
Well, that's.
You can't bring a cigar as big as a cigarette to a golf course.
Well, I don't know. You see, this is what I mean. I don't know the cigar rules.
A little cigar on a golf course.
I don't know the rules.
The cigar's going to last you like 9 holes.
Well, how long does I don't know how long they last.
You can blow those things in one hole.
That fast?
Yes.
That feels fast.
Short.
That feels fast to me.
What do you do with a cigar when you go to hit?
Put it on the ground.
Yeah, they put it on the ground. That's what they do.
And then you pick it back up and put it in your mouth?
Sometimes these guys buy a cigar tee. I mean, by the time you put the tee in and lean the cigar against it, you just dump it in the grass. It's fine.
Sanitary, at least.
You're going to see guys dumping it on Thursday.
They
put them on the ground on Thursday.
Put them on the ground.
That's what they do. Yeah, that's a thing.
Sometimes you get a little sand grains on it, and you just sprinkle them off.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, because it won't just be Mike. A lot of these sales guys, they're all going to golf. They all do that.
Oh, these sales guys will blow free cigars. They love their free cigars, these sales guys.
Well, I wasn't just talking about the free.
You implied that they would be free. They grab
a handful. You ever seen those?
Yeah, I've seen those sales dudes.
Uh-huh. They grab a bushel.
And then they end up giving them to clients and stuff
when they go out. Of course they do. I bought for you.
Yeah, but that day, I wasn't impugning the character. I'm saying that's what they're going to do because I've seen them do it at these Mikey Miss Opens. They just throw it down, pick it up.
Because here's the thing. You got the cigar in your mouth, you walk into your ball. You walk to your ball, you look at it, you look at the distance, you still got the cigar in your mouth, and you choose your club, you still got the cigar in your mouth, and you're standing over it, and then you drop the cigar, and you hit it. You can't take any extra time to like put a fancy little gadget in the ground.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
All right then.
Real men just throw a cigar.
Real men.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen it. I'm not a cigarsman, so I don't know. I've just seen it.
Yeah. Have you ever tried a cigar?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't like it?
It's not even that.
Not your thing?
No. I probably could do it. It's just I don't think I do any cigar activities.
Drinking tequila.
Golf, drink tequila. Writing, and reading are three great cigar activities.
Well, I read.
You'll be amazed how smooth your reading will be with a cigar.
Even with the Kindle and not a physical book, because that's what I do on my reading on a Kindle.
Yes, absolutely.
On the Kindle.
There'll be a certain calm that comes over you to make you concentrate better.
Really?
Like when I wrote, I always wrote better with a cigar.
I'll try that. Maybe I'll try that on vacation.
Oh, yeah,
I have
there you
some
go.
Time. Maybe I'll try it on vacation.
There you go. Because it's occupying a part of your brain where it's just like you're getting the satisfaction of it, and the other part of your brain that's focused on the activity then zeroes in better.
Wow.
How about that?
That's the way I've always
that's worth a try. Yeah, because I'm not against them. I've smoked a dozen in my life.
Yeah.
It's just it's not a thing I normally.
Yeah, and a golf course, it's almost like a baseball player who chews gum or chews tobacco.
Okay.
That occupies a certain part of your brain where it's the comfort of the cigar and then the concentration on the shot.
Huh.
All right, Mike, I want to pick your brain about cigars. I liked them. I've only ever smoked one cigar in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, well, it's a good taste.
Yeah.
A different taste. A good cigar gives you a nice taste.
All right, you're going to have to teach me some stuff.
Also, sometimes, though, you're not supposed to inhale, right?
No.
Right.
But, like,
you just kind of draw on it and taste it.
Right.
Blow it out.
I always feel like I need an ENT.
You know,
is it almost like second nature just to inhale?
Yeah, it's hard for me to do that. It's like something's built wrong or something. Like it could be deformed.
I know. I think that's completely normal because that was with me too.
I don't know how to do that properly, so it ends up being harsh even when it doesn't have to be.
You're taking it too deep in your throat.
Yeah, but how? Like that's what I'm saying. Like
you got to train your mouth. It's just like the smoke is just in the top of your mouth and it's blown out. Like when I'm walking with a cigar, the tongue will shut down the smoke. You get your tongue in front of the cigar; that's the open cut part of it, and then you don't have it. You don't have to worry about your smoke inhaling or whatever. You just shut it down.
Yes,
and then when you're ready to hit it again, you just hit it.
I smoked a cigar at the pool on my honeymoon.
Well, there you go. Full-time activity.
I'm sitting there doing
that. That's a great cigar time.
Yeah, story took a turn for the gross. After a while, I go there. I'm asking the guy at the resort what kind of cigar. I smoke like three-quarters of it. I'm done.
Yeah?
I put it down in the ashtray. I don't want to be any mall.
Uh-huh.
Some random, I don't know, picks up the cigar.
No, no, no.
A woman, and just starts smoking.
No.
Complaining about how bad it was. My wife and I started referring to her as Josie Grossi.
Whoa, wait, hold a second. Back up. You left the cigar.
I was done with it. So I put it.
It was still smoking.
Yeah, I just put it in the ashtray.
Okay, and she comes by and
I walk away from
it. The cigar and smokes it?
Yeah, because they call us back over to the bar at the resort. It's like one of those shots for everybody. They do that at the resort. So I come back for it. It's terrible, but I come back. So I'm right by the ashtray. And at the moment when we walk back, here comes Josie Grossi just grabbing it, smoking, and he complained about how bad it is. But it wasn't even, it was just a random cigar.
She just wanted to try it out?
No, I was done with it.
Did she read the label? That's why she picked it up? Or she didn't know the cigar?
She didn't know it was a cigar. She just thought she was smoking.
I almost would allow, if she picked up the cigar and got a cutter and cut an inch off.
Cutter? She just picked it up and put it in her mouth.
That's gross.
That's so
I know. And even if it was me, I was like, I mean, I don't think I'm passing any disease to her. It still was gross that she just picked up a random.
Well, did you ask her why she would pick up a random cigar?
Didn't say any. I mean, no. I mean, well, what do you say?
Is there any reason you would pick up a used cigar? I would like to know. Nah. I would like to learn. It's human behavior, learned thing.
Didn't even... I just noticed it and was like, ugh.
All right, before we get back to the phone, let me examine now what I'm talking about with the Phillies. Because we haven't had one Philly reaction today. Either that means that people don't care, which maybe they don't. Or that they're freaked that they lost this 2 of 3 of the Cincinnati Reds. So what I've been saying all along is, yes, the Braves are going to rally. I told you to be afraid of the Braves. Don't worry about the Mets like 2 weeks ago. And I looked at the schedule and I go, the next 12 games, the Braves are going to be ahead. Don't freak. So here's where the Braves go now. The Braves have three at, Miami.
Well, they're going to win two.
And three at Baltimore.
Well, see, that could be a 4-2 at worst.
Okay.
5-1 probably.
So 4-2. Let's go 4-2. Phillies go 3-3. Braves are up by 2 games now. Don't panic. Don't freak.
All right.
Because now the Yankees for the Braves. Two with the Yankees, split.
Yeah, that's a split, too.
Three with the Giants.
Oh, they could finally lose a series at that point.
Three at Los Angeles.
oh, well, now they need those games, so that they're going to lose two or three, or maybe just sweat.
Sorry, we're talking about eight games, Yankees, Giants, Dodgers.
On the road or at home?
Three of them are in L.A.
All right.
Then they get a blow. So this is why the Phillies have to hang in there now. Mm-hmm. These are ebbs and flows now. At Colorado for four, Washington for three at home, Miami three at home, Colorado three again. You know, weather that storm, because then they have to go to San Francisco.
See, that's tough. That team's
and then to San Diego for three more.
And they'll definitely need the Padres, I think, yes, are playing them ways into needing those games.
And by that time, the series starts September 28th against the Phillies. Wherever those teams will be, the Phillies will control the destiny.
I feel a lot better if Nola was just had a pulse. He's just out there. He's just out there anymore. There's nothing special about him. He's just a guy that's just out there, you know.
Well, you got to look at it this way. See, I'm looking at it the most positive way. Nola did not come through, but you didn't expect Matt Moore to come through. So everything's even.
Yeah.
It's like that Seinfeld episode.
Oh, yeah. He always came. Even Steven.
Even Steven.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Coming up is Tim McManus. And then your call, if you want to line it up now, be a good time. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
.430, Mike Missinelli Show. We're about to hear what went on in the Eagles training camp. I'm excited that they joined practice with the Patriots. And McManus is going to join us in a second. But right now, it's time to update our Twitter poll. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons with Jennifer Scordo. Jenin.
All right, we're talking about collecting things today. With a baseball card being sold for over $6 million, have you ever collected anything like baseball cards or stamps or something along that line? 17.5% say no, it never kept stuff, and 82.5% say yep, they have collected things.
All righty. Well, listen, I remember the days when they used to practice with the Patriots, and I remember watching Tom Brady go zing, 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 zing. Like he completed like nine in a row in an up-and-down drill. But there's no Tom Brady anymore. So I don't know what's going on at training camp. But I'm hearing whispers that Devontae Smith's back on the field and that Quez Watkins had another monster day. Let's get the report on what is happening at training camp with Tim McManus, who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com, with our daily training camp report. Hello, Timmy.
What's up, Mike? That was a clinic when Brady was here. It never dropped. It never hit the ground.
It was pretty amazing. And we would just kind of roll our eyes and go, well, they're not as good as the Patriots.
Yeah, it was not like that today. Let's put it that way. It was Cam Newton at running with the ones, Mac Jones with the twos. And I would say that overall, the Eagles had the better day on both sides of the ball. A couple picks on Cam Newton, including one from Eric Wilson, really nice along the goal line there. And the best quarterback on the field today would be that Jalen Hurts.
All right, so did he hit Watkins with another bomb for a touchdown?
Yeah, I mean, he's been connecting with Watkins quite a bit. And, yeah, he had another one with Quez Watkins, the one-on-ones. You know, the Eagles receivers really acquitted themselves well. But I would say, you know, the receiver that stood out for me the most today was Jalen Reagor. You know, his athleticism and his speed and his route running is probably the best that I've seen out of him since he's been in an Eagles uniform. And we know that it started out really slow for him last year and for the start of this training camp. He failed his conditioning test. He's dealing with a death of somebody close to him. But he's really come on of late, Mike. And, you know, there was a one-on-one at the beginning of practice where he was able to contort his body and make a contested catch, showing really strong hands and good body control as he kind of danced along the sideline. In another one that he hauled in from Hurts on just a beauty of a throw during 11-on-11 down that left sideline. Made a number of catches today. So, yeah, I mean, Watkins continues to impress, no question about it. But for me, the best receiver today was Reagor.
Wow, this is really encouraging that they could have three guys that would be weapons like this if Reagor really comes through. So Hurts passed the test here against that Belichickian mystique.
Yeah, he did. He had one bad session. So there was a 7-on-7 where he threw two pick sixes, both of them kind of caroming off of his receiver's hands. One of them was Zach Ertz. The other one was Kenny Gainwell. The second one to Gainwell was a pretty bad throw. Ended up in the Patriots' hands, and they returned it for a quote-unquote touchdown. Other than that, he was really sharp. And when it was team drills, when it was 11-on-11, I thought that he was dissecting the defense really well. He was reading things correctly. I think that he was making the right throws. He was doing it on time and accurately. And, yeah, I mean, I just feel like Hurts is in more command as we go along here, that he obviously feels a little bit more comfortable with the system and operating in it, getting his timing down with his receivers. So it was an encouraging day for Hurts. There was one blip, and it wasn't pretty, but other than that, it was a good day for him.
Tim, what kind of physicality are we seeing out there in these practices? In other words, what kind of the trenches line play stood out?
So the defensive line for the Eagles continues to stand out. Javon Hargrave had a really impactful day. I mean, one of the reasons why Cam Newton didn't have a great day is because he was getting pressure up the middle. And Josh Sweat continues to look good as well. You know, they're not tackling to the ground, but it was an overall pretty physical day. There was one where Derek Barnett just laid out a Patriots tight end, Lacoste, in a bang-bang play, but it was ugly looking, where it took a while for the Patriots player to get up and kind of hobble to the sidelines. And then there was also some friction during his practice, Mike, including around Jalen Mills. Of course, the former Eagles defensive back comes back in a Patriots uniform, and he's just getting taunted all day by Darius Slay on the sidelines. I mean, just, you know, telling the offense to throw his way, like, over and over and over again. So he was getting, like, a good ribbing, and Mills was getting fed up. And there was one play where Mills looked like he jumped off sides, and Jordan Mailata took his fingers and, like, slapped Mills on the helmet when he came off sides. Mills ends up pushing Mailata, the 6'8", 350-pound Mailata, in his back. And then Jalen Reagor comes over and takes umbrage with that. So it was kind of chippy in moments, a lot of it surrounding Mills there. But, I mean, that's what you like about these joint practices. It kind of infuses it with an edge that, once you get to this point in training camp, has dulled a little bit. So it was kind of fun to take in.
Yeah, was there a friendly fire collision today with Maddox and Slay? Was there anything like that today?
Yeah, I think it was actually Harris, because saw Anthony Harris and Slay talking after the play. So, yeah, it was basically both of those guys going for the ball, like, over the middle. And Harris ended up upending Darius Slay. Slay fell awkwardly and looked like he was being tested for a concussion on the sideline, and was having his neck, shoulder area looked at by trainers. It was kind of scary because he was on the ground for a minute. But he got up and kind of went back to his normal self on the sideline afterwards. So it looks like he's going to be okay.
What about the running backs in these practices? Are they getting much time to carry the football against the contact or what? And specifically Miles Sanders?
Yeah, so there was actually one play. Like, as a running back, Sanders has looked awesome there in training camp. And the offensive line is back in full. So Brandon Brooks and Isaac Seumalo were running back with the first team today. Really the first time that we've seen that full offensive line, you know, have their full complement. And they opened up a huge hole on the right side that Sanders was able to dart through. Again, he looks really strong as a runner. He looks quick, the whole thing. That, you know, the issue with him in camp, as we've noted, has been the drops. He had another one today. He was right out in the flat, and Hurts hit him in stride, and it was right where it needed to be, and it just caromed off his hands and hit the turf. So this is something that we have seen over and over again, and it's like you don't want to make too big of a deal out of it because it's practice and the whole thing, and he looks good otherwise, but he can't really hold on to the ball consistently, Mike. So we just have to see if that's going to continue to be something that happens in games.
That's not good. That's not good at all. All right, so is the head coach any closer to, first of all, I think it's an interesting dynamic with Sirianni and the wise sage here. You noticing any dynamic here between those two guys?
I mean, Sirianni, I asked him about it on Saturday, you know, just like what the thoughts that go through his head. He's going to be sharing the field with Belichick, and he just, you know, basically said that they don't really have a relationship, but he was going to kind of soak the whole thing in and take whatever he could from his practice methods and all. He's like, listen, this is the greatest guy to ever to ever do it. It's the greatest coach of all time. So I'm going to take my cues from him a little bit. You know, but otherwise, you know, they chopped it up a little bit after practice, but both of them were kind of consumed with what their players were doing on the field. That Sirianni was just locked into what his guys were doing, and particularly the wide receivers, and correcting them every time, you know, something went wrong.
Well, my question was going to be, is he any closer to naming like a first string with Mailata or the quarterback or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the holdup is here on either of those sides, Mike. Like, Mailata has been working with the first team. Dillard remains week to week with his knee issue. That's clear as day who's going to be starting against Atlanta week one. And the same thing applies to quarterback. I think it's probably, like Sirianni has said, that he stresses competition. You know, they kind of want these guys to earn it. But Hurts has taken every single first-team rep for the entirety of the summer. Like, nobody's fooled by this, including Joe Flacco. Like, nobody thinks Flacco is going to be the guy under center barring injury or something catastrophic. And so I don't know that we're going to get, like, him actually saying those words until leading up to week one. But, you know, it's there. I mean, Hurts is the starter. Mailata's got to be the starter.
All right. So there will be another one tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, another joint practice
and
tomorrow.
What will that be any different than today? Will they curtail contact in that one? And I assume like Wednesday will just be a walkthrough for them?
That's right. Yeah. I think it's going to be pretty well the same format as today. It went a little bit longer than we're used to. I was curious how that was going to go because the Patriots have been doing like 2.5 hour practices all summer long, and the Eagles are like 1 hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But it went more towards the Patriots side where it was close to a 2 hour session. And the real thing that you're seeing is a lot of team drills, like 11 on 11. They were just going at it pretty much the whole time. So I think we'll see more of that, a little bit action packed. And as you mentioned at the beginning, we saw Devontae Smith participating in practice for the first time in a long time now.
Yeah.
He was moving really well. He just did the individual work, but he's starting to come on. I don't know that we'll see him in the game against the Patriots on Thursday, but he's definitely trending towards being available week one.
All right. Now, how did Cam Newton look from your standpoint, and what about their quarterback situation?
Yeah, I didn't think that either of their quarterbacks looked good. Mac Jones was just offering up would-be interceptions pretty consistently. Andrew Adams, the reserve safety for the Eagles, had two that just dropped through his hands. His teammates were giving him a hard time on the sideline because they were just like right in the breadbasket, and he wasn't able to hold on to them. So Mac Jones was shaky. Newton had that pick to Eric Wilson. He almost had another one to Alex Singleton. I think he did throw another one or two. And so I thought that he didn't look all that great. It seemed pretty clear to me that Jalen Hurts was the best quarterback on the field today.
All right. Timmy, sounds good. We'll check back with you tomorrow. We appreciate it.
All right, Mike. Look forward to it. Thanks.
Tim McManus, Comcast Business Hotline, covering the Eagles for ESPN.com, and his views on today's joint practice with the Patriots. They also have Brian Hoyer on that roster, right?
Is he?
They have Brian Hoyer's their third string.
All right, well, I
had the kid from Auburn, but I think he's hurt.
I don't know. With their quarterbacks, I'm just glad that the Eagles' quarterbacks were good. It sounded like everything was good except
Miles Sanders.
The reason is I'm trying to figure out, there are fans who are optimistic right now, and I'm not killing any optimism in August about maybe they can, in this division, maybe they can be a playoff team. If that was to happen, the quarterback obviously has to be real. He has been good so far, so I'm not can't say that's not true. The young receivers have to be good, and it looks like they're all playing pretty decent. Good. But the one thing that they're going to have to do is he has to be a dual threat.
Yeah.
And if he can't catch it, he can't elevate his game to that next level. And we didn't see him in the preseason game.
Listen, if he's still dropping balls, that's not a good sign.
That's what I mean. It will hold back the offense, and I know how good he is as a runner. But if they know what's coming when he's in the game, and they know, okay, if they're passing, that means Gainwell or Boston Scott or somebody else, and it's obvious, I don't think that's good when he needs to be on the field a lot as the main three down back.
Yeah.
That means on third down, you got to take him out of the game. If he can't catch it, he can't be in the game on third down. And what good is a feature back who can't play third down?
I hear you.
That's a concern.
You know, this is Penn State pedigree, too. I'm not feeling good about it either.
I'm just saying, like, he looks like he could be explosive. They're saying he's explosive. Mm-hmm. But if you can't catch it to be explosive, what good is being explosive?
Yeah.
If you can't catch.
But speaking of Penn State, apparently I was just on the Big Ten Network. My mug was on the Big Ten Network because they were doing a story on the 86 Penn State team.
Oh, there you go.
So, look at you.
There you go. I just got words. And then this other guy goes, why do you pronounce word like string, street, and streak with an SH sound? Must be a Philly. It's exactly a Philly thing.
Yeah, of course. Like,
and then people say Nice Street.
Yeah.
Or Nice Street Market.
Why does it bother
it's
you?
It's a Philly thing. Yeah. So, sorry, Bob. 610-632-0975. If you want to climb in, now would be a really good time because we have four open lines on the Mike Missinelli Show. I'm back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
447, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Okay, so this place that used to be a Costa is going to be called the Ludlum.
Okay.
I think it's called that now.
Yeah, somebody tweeted.
The Ludlum Beach Bars.
And kind of, yeah, the beach bar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's fun. I haven't been to Seattle in a really long time.
So some developer bought it for $7.3
million. Man. Always liked La Costa back in the day.
Plans to demolish it to build a hotel, restaurant, outdoor bar, and banquet hall. But they are keeping it open this summer until they revise their plans for the hotel complex.
That's happening a lot there in Sea Island.
Yeah, it is.
Springfield, Cat Razor.
People are still, it looks like, you know, it didn't change that much right now. You can get an outdoor drink. All right, let's go to the phones with Ken in Plainfield. Ken, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ken.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Ken?
Hey, so Jalen Hurts going to be the starter, it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who said he wasn't going to be the starter?
Well, me and you had a bet, remember? I bet a box of Cubans, and you had the Padrones, and just reminding you that we had that bet.
Wait. I never said he wasn't going to be the starter.
Who
else is going to be the starter?
No. This was when what's-her-name was still with the team. The guy in Indy.
Well, he's no longer with the team. That's not a bet.
Wait,
on a bet where you that I said that that Wentz would be the starter over Hurts? Wentz is no longer here.
Yeah, well.
But he would have been the starter had he been here.
No, he wouldn't.
Come on, Ken, stop it.
Come on, man. Come on now. You trying to get out of it?
What are you talking about? It's not even a bet anymore. He got traded.
What was the original bet?
The original bet was if Wentz and Hurts were here, Wentz would start.
Oh. No. No one said if he was here. Okay, actually, I was
Are you trying to get a loophole now on a bet?
No, stop it. Not a loophole.
Get
come
out
on,
of here.
Man. Come on, man. It's not a loophole.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Come on.
No, man. So you're
going to
get out of it,
huh? Don't even waste my time with nonsense.
Why couldn't he just own up to the original? I was asking him what the terms of the
bet
were.
His point was that Hurts was going to be the starter over Wentz.
Well, we never got to find that out.
Well, that's why I bet him, because he wouldn't have been the starter over Wentz when they traded Wentz. He's trying to collect on the bet? Come on. What do you think? I fell off a produce truck? Mike and Del Ran, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Mike?
Hey, earlier you were talking about the comic books, and Tyrone might notice, you know, I collected at one point, he said he heard a little bit of Superman. Superman had a death series where he died.
Yes.
And I had that series, the one book was really expensive. And a buddy of mine stole it from me, and then the next week he moved to Portugal. Ain't that messed up, man?
Dude
wanted to look at him.
You need to hire a Portuguese PI, brother. that's theft.
But the things I collect is like now I'm older. I got a bar. I have old like sports memorabilia. And the oddest thing I have is I have a game used bag of Red Man Chew from Lenny Dykstra. I don't know why it's worth nothing.
Well, how did you get that?
It was in my family. I think my grandfather got it. It was he was eating the Red Man Chew.
And he just said, threw the bag away?
No, he signed it.
Oh, he signed the bag.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have it, and it's I don't, like I said, it's worthless. And then and then the other reason I like to collect is like you never realize how low you get in life until you go to Vegas and you go to a sports store and the only two people in there is a 16-year-old girl working at the register and Pete Rose. watching sports races on his iPad. That's all he does.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, Mike. What do you? I'm going to hang up after this question. What? Mm-hmm. What are you going to measure Jalen Hurts' success on this year? Is it going to be his stats? Is it going to be the record?
It's the eye test for me. If he's savvy as a quarterback and he stays in the pocket and he doesn't get jumpy and run out because the first receiver's not open, I mean, you'll know.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at like a top 15 type stats and then like a around 500, a little less, a little more, whatever, doesn't matter.
That would be a good season for him.
All right, I agree. That sounds good, Mike. Go, Bert.
All right, buddy, you got it. Lenny was just a classic character. And my man, I got to tell this story. I think I told it when he was on. A couple times he was on here. One, very successful, and the other, not so successful.
when
he was on with us.
For the unsuccessful one.
You were?
I believe that one of the unsuccessful ones when Darren Dawn had passed away.
Oh, yeah?
And
this is the one that Lenny has oil stains on his shirt.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about in. This was when he called in and couldn't.
Oh, he called in. Oh,
and he couldn't, make it through a few minutes of the call. He was in such a bad state.
Yeah, he co-hosted a couple times. So I was doing his magazine story on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to live in Paoli. So I go to his house and he was sitting in the living room. And he's got a glass of orange juice in front of him. He's got some woman making him breakfast.
Okay.
And I smell breakfast meat. Yeah, you know, like the unmistakable smell of bacon and whatever.
Bacon, sausage,
so he's sitting there and he's going, he's got a cigarette. This is morning now. It's like 10 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a cigarette and a glass of orange juice. And he's finishing his cigarette and he goes, I gotta pay much more attention to my fitness this year. I gotta eat right and shoot the cigarette. And the lady comes over with his breakfast and she brings him 5 bacon strips, 5 sausage links, and a slab of scrapple.
And that's the eating better?
I swear to God. And he's telling me with a straight face smoking. How he's got to really be good at work on his fitness. And he's smoking a cigarette. He's doing this. And he gets the cigarette. And he dips the ash. He flicks the ashes into the orange. He had this much left of the orange juice, like a couple inches.
Yeah.
And he flicks the ashes into the orange juice.
Come on, Lenny.
Oh, he was a classic baseball character.
Now,
man.
Some people think it's the turf's fault, the vet turf. Because there's been a lot of people who have cancer and stuff. I'm serious. There are people out there that think that it got to him.
He was nuts before the turf.
That's what I think, but I've heard that they think it got worse with the vet turf.
There's going to be this expose on the 86 era Mets.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. I think it's in the fall. It's coming out. I can't wait.
He was a nutty character then. There was no Vet Stadium Turf Fair.
That's true. He's running around with Kevin Mitchell and them. He's nuts. Mitchell.
6'3", 2". Dude, he goes, dude, I don't really pay attention to the fitness part.
That's great.
Even bacon and sausage. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5, The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, 5 o'clock hour, is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Just call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. A big shout out to my buddy Matt Pagano and Pagano's Italian Market. They brought in some fantastic food as usual today. And they are providing the boxed lunches for the Mike Missinelli golf outing this Thursday.
Oh, no way.
Yes, they are.
Nice.
And those boxed lunches won't be your average boxed lunch.
They'll be fantastic.
It's delicious.
Italian Market, they're on 20th and Market and other places. I believe he's got one in Springfield as well.
Everything here today from them was fantastic as well. I know you had some, Jen.
Oh, yeah. So good.
He really is good.
a good man. The Honus Wagner baseball card that we talked about a little earlier was sold for $6,606,000, shattering the previous record. The previous record was a 52 Mickey Mantle card that sold for $5.2 million in January. And that was matched by a 2304 LeBron James autographed rookie card, which went for the same price.
Wow.
This one went for $6,606,000, and it was sold. It was in the possession, and it was sold by a local cardiologist.
I've also heard that it was a doctor.
Yes. Cardiologist, which is a good thing, because I had a heart attack when I saw it was sold for $6,606,000. Right?
That really jumped out.
Yeah.
You know what?
A lot of money.
Now, people have talked about what they collect, and I see there's somebody on hold that wants to talk about their collectibles. But does anybody talk? No one's talked about so far the why. Because now it can't all just be for money.
Why do you collect?
Yeah, because it's not just for the money.
That's an interesting question.
But yeah, like, why do
you? You don't know why you collect, right? You collect comic books. Why did you?
Well, why did I at the time? I don't know. I was partially because my uncle did.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that's something to do. But
like so you didn't collect because you wanted to sell them. You just collected.
No,
you just collected. So you don't really define the reason why. You just do.
And same with the other cards that are all like sitting in a binder still to this day. I don't know why I did it, but there were times where if I got a little bit of money, because you're a kid, like uh-huh. you don't have a proper job.
Yeah.
I didn't have a proper job at the time. When I got that money, though, there was times where I knew I was going to spend a certain amount on Doritos or something silly.
Yeah.
And the other summer was going to be on a pack of cards. Yeah. Every time. Like, I just knew, like, I was going to get a pack of cards.
You collect their mindset because you knew to preserve them.
But I never thought, when they used to talk about, oh, it's going to be worth money, I would dismiss, like, yeah, right. So it definitely wasn't money.
No.
So I don't know what it was.
It's undefined. Like, for instance, the people that collect Hummels may have gotten a Hummel or their grandmother had a Hummel.
Yeah.
And it just got passed on. So you go, I can't do it with just one Hummel. I have to have many Hummels, right?
Because
you have a Hummel case.
Right.
So I don't know if people take the time to understand why they collect.
Well,
if anybody does,
I'm fascinated by people that have cool collections. I would honestly like to hear it. Because I'm fascinated by that kind of thing. Because I don't have anything that's cool. Like, my cards are from kids. The comic books are fine. It's not my uncle's 6,500. His is impeccable.
Yeah.
And the shot glasses are shot glasses. Like, we use the shot glass. They're not, like, in a case somewhere. Like, we have a bar.
Yeah.
And we give them, all right, you're Belarus. You're France.
Yeah.
You're Canada. Like, all right, for the whole day. Like, so it's not, I don't have a cool collection.
Yeah.
Some people I've seen, like, they got, the lunchbox collection somebody showed. Somebody has whole kinds of stuff. Gun collection, but like somebody has a vintage camera collection.
That's super neat.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, that's a cool thing to like.
Mm-hmm.
The chase is something. I can go get a shot glass anyway.
You collect them though for like, what do? You bring people in and show it all. Like, this is the thing that has escaped me with collecting. It's like, why? Like, I what? Because I look at it. You know, I got this collection of stuff. Like, why do I want to show it off to people? Like, what's the point of it?
Well, I think, Tyrone, you hit on something. I do think the chase is part of it for some of these people. Like, going to these antique stores and things like that, or finding garage sales and finding that diamond in the rough at a garage sale.
Yeah.
You know, this antique camera that people sell and have no idea that it might be worth a little bit of money, not even a whole lot. But it's going to be really interesting to that person. If you really enjoy something, you want more
sense,
of it.
The most thing that makes sense to me is a wine collector. A wine collector would go to auctions to buy wine and have a monster wine. So that wine can always be utilized as a drinking wine, but it also increases in value.
Right.
Wine.
So it's an investment.
Right. It's an investment that you can actually use.
Right, but that costs, not everyone's in a position to get to have that kind of collection.
No, I get it. Even if you have a 25-bottle collection, it's like
saying, let's say the bottles cost $100 a piece.
Yeah.
Some people don't have the $2,500 is what I'm even.
Well, that's true.
Like,
you one bottle at a time, and you come across a bottle of wine and whatever. You buy one.
You can do that's
and you just put it in there, and then you can, as you go on, you collect.
I would like to. I have something I've always wanted to collect that I can't afford to do, and I would like to buy to get microphones. I'm fascinated by microphones. Yeah, like old ribbon mics and all these different mics, but it's expensive. it's too expensive for me. Yeah, I can't afford to start
vintage
the collection.
Microphones.
Yes, but if I could, I would have a lot of vintage microphones if I had enough money to buy them. That's something I would be interested in collecting.
All right.
And I would never sell them, though. I would only I would get them, but I would never then flip them. I would get them because I want them, and I would want to keep them. I would never then flip them. My mind seems to be only in the grab, never with the like the share
you.
For some reason.
I got you. Interesting odds have been posted today, which are different than the odds that I saw before to win the 2021-2022 NBA Eastern Conference.
Okay, so I'm going to guess that the Sixers are fifth in the odds. But
the
what
Sixers are not fifth.
What, a sixth?
The Sixers are third.
Oh!
So, there you go.
Where we at?
Nothing has happened. I mean, it's Nets 6-5, Bucks 17-4, Sixers 6-1, the Heat are 11-1.
That's the age. That's the age. They're saying Lowry and the miles on Jimmy.
The Sixers have gone ahead of the Heat.
And they're ahead of the Hawks.
For reasons way ahead of the Hawks. Hawks are 18-1.
That's interesting.
The Celtics are ahead of the Hawks.
Interesting. Well, that makes sense, though. Tatum and Brown will step forward. Kemba's gone. Huh. That matters to me. I have to enter the season with hope. Wow. That's all I'm asking. I have to enter the season with
hope. That's hope.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dean and Tom's River. Dean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Dean, did that Tom's River team make it to the World Series?
They did, yes.
Good for them. Did they yes. beat Oaks, PA in the championship game?
They did not. So they lost one game in the regional, so the PA team made it, and so did the
Tom's River team. Yeah, I knew they played, but they played against each other. I just wondered who won that last game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wanted to call you guys about the Eagles. I'm heading to the game Thursday, and I'm really excited because hopefully Devontae Smith could play, and I think it'd be really cool to see him in his first ever Eagles game.
Will he play in this game, you think, Tyrone? Did Devontae Smith just come back from practice? I don't know if they would play him in this game.
I don't know. I don't think he's even alive. Let's see what happens tomorrow if he's in the live, the 11-on-11.
Yeah, I'm guessing that he probably would not, Dean, but, you know.
Either way, I'm still excited because I'm hoping that the starters play a little bit longer. I want to see more from Jalen Hurts, and I'm honestly just excited to see Quez again because I went last week with my dad. My dad's a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
And the building was like about to come down when Quez scored that touchdown. Yeah. Everybody's rooting for him, so I'm excited to see him again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see the defensive line keep dominating. And I don't have any expectations going into the season, but I think this team is going to make more noise than they're being credited for.
And noise means what? How many wins?
I think they get like 7 or 8 wins, but I think they're going to be competitive. I don't think that they're going to be a team that teams are just going to come in and like walk all over. I think they're going to compete in every game.
Okay. I like it. It's possible. I see 7 max, but maybe they get to 8.
Yeah, and I wanted to call you guys about the collections.
Uh-huh.
I started collecting. I collect Philly sports jerseys, and because I'm not a guy that's going to wear a jersey from a team that's not one of my teams, so I collect them. I'm close to, I think, 45 now.
Oh, wow.
I started, the first one I ever got that really got me into it was, I'm a huge Tim Tebow guy, and my uncle, when he was on the team, my uncle bought me a Tebow Eagles jersey.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So that really got me started, and then I just kept going from there, and it's honestly become a problem. Like, my I have to, like, sneak them in my house now so my mom doesn't see them.
Yeah. All right, well.
So, like, whenever the delivery truck pulls up, she's like, please tell me you didn't buy another one. I'm like, no, I didn't.
Well, you know, listen, if it's your thing, she's got to let you roll with it.
Yeah, and my dad collects baseball cards. He worked at a baseball card company when he was a teenager, and he's just got boxes of thousands of thousands of baseball cards that have never even been opened.
Wow. You better open those. Sure. See if you can find a couple of gems, man.
Yeah.
All right, Dean.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Dean checking in. I got another dog joke for you.
Tebow.
What?
Tebow jersey. Like, that was a super violation.
Yeah, it was, but, you know, it's a collector. Tebow's a collector. Years from now, remember, Tebow name will always resonate.
I mean, but that's not... Isaiah Joe has a mild left ACL sprain. He left the game. So.
Oh, okay.
Mild. So he should be all right. Yeah, should be. What's your dog
joke? Another dog joke. I told you dog joke earlier. Mm-hmm. Got another one. And it's about talking dog also. I got a plethora of talking dog jokes.
Okay.
So the guy walks into a bar. He's got a little dog under his arm. And he tells the people in the bar, the dog talks and he's willing to bet anyone $20 to put him to the test. Bartender goes, all right, I've got that bet. The guy puts the dog on the bar. He says, go ahead and ask him a question. The bartender says, what covers a building and keeps the rain out? And the dog goes, roof. The bartender says, come on, man. You and your dog are full of crap. I'm not paying that. The guy says, you got to ask a better question than that then. And the bartender goes, all right, who's the greatest ball player of all time? And the dog says, Ruth. And the bartender throws the guy and the dog out of the bar. And the dog looks up at his owner and he shrugs his shoulders and he goes, what was the answer, DiMaggio?
That was bad, Mike.
Come on. That was emailed to me by a regular emailer, Jay.
Well, we appreciate it, Jay, but like, I don't know.
It's a smile joke.
I don't know. I think the boo enhanced it for some reason.
I don't know. All right, let's go to Vince in Lancaster. Vince, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey,
what's up, Vince?
How you doing? I tend to not get too high or too low in the preseason with everything that's going on, but I like how the team seems to have gotten younger. And I like how the offensive line has developed. But the thing that kind of stood out to me was this Tyree Jackson.
Yes, the tight end, yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's another young guy with potential. I hope he really steps up and makes the team.
He's another one of these mystery men because he was a quarterback. He's like Mailata was a rugby player, so they're going to turn this guy into a tight end. They may have found a gem.
Yeah, and they're both tall.
Yeah.
I mean, they got some real height to them, so.
6'7".
The other unknown that kind of stands out is we got to catch a break this year as far as injuries are concerned. I mean, they've just been slammed the last couple of years with injuries, and that's a big.
Yeah, I mean, listen, injuries, factor. You can't. I try not to. It's almost like officials. Like injury, like I can't predict when somebody's going to get injured. Like you never know, and it's never. I never blame the training staff. They happen. You know, these guys get hit. They're twisted. They run. There's a lot of weight on them. I don't know. You got to cross your fingers.
You can't blame anyone. Just that you get tired of seeing it happen.
Well, people try to blame the staffs. Like, well, what's their medical staff doing? What's their training staff doing? These guys all are well intentioned employees.
Yeah, but by the way, I have a collection of Wings cigarette bars.
Oh, you have what?
A collection of Wings, W-I-N-G-S, Wings cigarette cards from the World War II era.
Wings cigarette guards?
Cards, little cards. They came in these.
Oh, cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Is that worth a lot of money?
No, it's just I inherited it from my grandfather.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of a history buff, so yeah. I like stuff like that.
Well, hold on to that, You never know when it's going to come in handy.
Not
like a great grandchild may get it and say, let's take this to market.
Now, a complete set of four of those Wings.
Wings cigarette cards?
Yeah, he says from World War II. These are from the 50s.
Uh-huh.
$880.
For a card?
For a set of four.
Oh, a set of four.
Yeah, so if he has a bunch of them.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's
good knowledge.
That's worth some. I just looked it up.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, the 1940 ones, which is probably what he has because he got them from the war, or more.
See, that's what also you can do. You can get a couple of your cards that you think would be golden and check out their value.
Yeah, I can do
that. The ones you have, or a comic book.
Yeah. Now, some of these cards, if he has a lot of them, looking at this, if he has thousands of them, because apparently you could have that many of them, you can get it like $8.80 a piece for some of those cards, even if they're not that nice. of those cigarette cards he just had. So if he has 100 of them, times eight, I mean, he can get some money. The point is that's worth something. I don't know if his, you know, obviously I didn't see it, but everywhere on the internet, these things are worth having, they say.
How about cigar boxes? Would that be a collectible?
Some people do.
Yeah, people do. I don't know.
They make like handbags out of them.
Yeah, I remember when they used
really?
To
do
that.
Yeah.
I remember when they used to do that. On eBay, a quick search, because I don't know, what do I know? I see some for $14, some for $5, but then I, right away I see one for $80.
What, cigar box?
Uh-huh. For a...
Yeah, I don't save them.
Cohiba.
I don't save them.
Cohiba, I see one for $80. I see one for $30. I see one for $11.
I throw them away. I should keep them to just, like, burn them for Kindle, like, you know?
Well, rather than throw them away, you might as well do something.
I don't know. I'm not thinking.
Yeah, I see. I mean, I'm not seeing big money, but I see a bunch of $10 and up, $20, $30. Mm.
John in Lansdale. John, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing, John?
I'm doing good. Yeah, my biggest collective back in the day when I was a young kid was the ice cream cone, like the helmet from Dairy Queen. Uh-huh. I have all the teams, man.
Yeah, that's before you could, like, you used to have to send away for those.
Yeah.
Now you get them at the ballpark with ice cream. I think it defeated your value.
Ah, damn. Well, after that, I travel a lot, so I just start buying koozies and magnets, and it brings me happiness.
Yeah. Koozies, are koozies collectible item?
Oh, yeah.
Are they?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be worth anything.
Well, that's what I mean. We're talking about the worth of them.
Yeah, they're not going to be worth anything.
So what do you do with your koozie? Do you have a koozie cabinet?
I put them on top of the fridge, and just like a collection for me.
Do you have a go-to koozie?
Yeah, I do. It's Hawaii.
Oh, the Hawaii koozie? That goes good with a nice cold beer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I couldn't find the odds for the Super Bowl whatsoever because whatever ESPN channel I was watching, they kept they were showing the Jets ahead of the Eagles. Yeah, I'm like, that's unbelievable. But the last thing I had to ask you was, is Hamburger Helper a violation at the age of 38?
Are you single?
No, I'm not.
Where are you eating a Hamburger Helper?
At my house.
Is your wife making it?
No, I'm making it right now.
You make it for yourself?
Well, she eats it too. I'm just asking.
I just have to get more information on this. Is that you? Will you sit down to a meal of Hamburger Helper with you and the wife?
Yeah. Is that a total violation?
It's not a violation. You could be a little more innovative.
I can make great food. I mean,
was this just for a quick dinner? Is that what you're doing?
No, I actually...
You like it?
I still love it. Like, I'm like a little kid still. Like, and I'm 38, man. Like, I'm asking you.
Yeah, listen, at age 38, I don't know, I guess you can get away. If that's like in your wheelhouse when you were a kid and you think fondly of it, I guess you're all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like just something that I still love to eat.
It's Medigan, but, you know.
Well, I used to like, I haven't had it forever. Even before I hadn't had it, but I remember it finally. Man,
it's got a lot of sodium. A lot of bad stuff
in it. I remember the taste, though, fondly, like, oh.
Like it's delicious.
The stroganoff? The stroganoff Hamburger Helper.
Good.
Yeah.
The stroganoff.
Oh, my cousin passed away. Sorry. Hakeem's brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he passed away a couple years ago. He just sent me. He was a car collector. And
He shocked me. I remember when he passed away.
Yeah, Hakeem has the cards. He has a Jerry Rice car valued $569.
How about that?
Well, there you go. What's he going to do with that?
And he says, and then they said if he gets it signed, because it's unsigned, he can get $1,000 for it today. Like, if he found Jerry Rice at
Jerry Rice.
So if he goes to, Jerry Rice does sign at places.
Yeah.
If he goes and gets him to sign and pay the fee, even if it's $100.
Yeah, he's making out on it.
Then that's $1,000. He makes, in his case, he makes $900 on it. Because he can get that car for $1,000 a day, he just found out. Because we brought it up.
See, isn't it this is my point. Isn't it better to have tangible cold green cash in your hand than a card?
Well,
like, if you can grab 900 at the end of a day.
I think it depends. It does the appreciation of the card. Like, what if
Jerry Rice gives you nothing?
What if he gets it signed and, God forbid, something was to happen to Jerry Rice? And then that card goes from $1,000 to $2,000 a week. You're not going to get that at the bank.
In a week, yeah. I get it. Well, but with like 900 cold cash in your hand, you can buy yourself something nice.
You probably, if you don't care, it's probably better to have the money. And some people are in it for the money. Others are trying to, you know, they're trying to complete something.
Otherwise, the thing just sits there and goes, I could be $900.
There could be an emotional component, too. You know, if it did get passed down from your great-grandfather or whatever, it might be emotional. You don't want to let it go.
Yeah, I'm not sentimental like that. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Time for the final Twitter poll numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new lawnmower or a new outdoor power equipment, no better place to go than Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Good old-fashioned customer service. You can order online at paulbmoyer.com. Or you can give them a call and order what you want, and you pick it up yourself. They're shopping Doylestown. Jennifer Scordo, today's final numbers on the Twitter poll.
It has been fun seeing what everybody collects. With a baseball card being sold for over $6 million, have you ever collected anything like baseball cards or shot glasses? No, it never kept anything, 19%. And 80% of people, yes, they have collected things.
All righty. Thank you very much. So I understand that one of our favorite actors is a collector.
Yes.
Your favorite actor.
Tom Hanks collects typewriters.
Like old school typewriters. Yeah, that's too,
so, you know why he does that? That's so he can type out his next dumbass earworm movie line.
Man.
Hey, Rita, come over here. Life is but a box of chocolates.
Like a box of chocolates.
How about this one? Rita, how about Wilson? Wilson.
He didn't write those movies. He just impeccably executed the roles. You know, this is wrong. This is wrong. It's wrong. I actually think typewriters, if you have the room, is a cool thing
it's
to
neat.
Collect.
Yeah.
If you have the room.
Jenny.
See? I don't understand how far it's gone.
I don't like that. Put it back in there.
I don't understand. This shows you, though, how you're and Anthony, you two match up together in the countryside, you guys. How you take a movie that won Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor, and the takeaway is that shows he stinks. No, seriously. Like, you take that movie and go, see, this is proof. Other people, we would take Roadhouse as proof.
Why are you taking it that far? I'm just saying he's got the typewriter so he can type out his next little slogan.
You're not saying that. You're using a movie that's an American classic as a reason why Tom Hanks stinks. And Anthony does it, too. They use a piece of art as a battering ram. Take the Mona Lisa. And then you smash a window with it. It's a piece of art that you guys can't stand, the both of you. You and Anthony. Gump's the lowest movie ever made, basically, the way you guys have.
I didn't say that. I think it's a wildly entertaining movie. I'm saying I could have played the part. There was nothing brilliant about the fake voice thing.
All right. You're going to have to write a sports Gump.
You never know what you're going to get. I'll spell get, G-I-T.
Stop it now.
This is out of control.
That's good. Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's going on, Ed?
Jennifer Tyrone, hope you guys all had a good weekend.
I think they all did. I think we all had a pretty good weekend.
Mama always said you can tell a lot by somebody's shoes.
There you go.
Where they're going, where they've been.
Let me see if I can get to the click. Shh. I just returned the carriage. What was that again?
Okay. Typewriters would be a good collection. I don't have the space for them, but I do think they are pretty artsy. Pretty, because, you know, it's
yeah,
all
the old school
that,
typewriters.
Classic,
they are classic. The old Royals, R-O-Y-A-L. Smith Corona. Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah. one black and silver classic.
Exactly.
It's like cameras, too. Mm-hmm. You know, cameras are, I mean, the only thing, they're out of my league to collect, but the only thing that I can actually say that I collected as a teenager were albums, you know, like vinyl.
You know, it was a great movie to use the typewriter, the old typewriter, as a classic clue to solve a murder. Jagged Edge with Jeff Bridges and Glenn Close way back in the day.
That's early.
Do you remember this? Remember that movie?
I do.
He was clacking out messages to the newspaper with this typewriter, and the typewriter had like a raised E or something, and that's how they got him.
Yes, of course. Yeah. But, you know, there is something about a typewriter, Mike. As a journalist, you got to appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I started out on the clacker and then went to the electric.
And now it's all plastic and that's
and
all done by
all,
the way.
It's all computer, baby.
But vinyl, you know, you always, when you collected vinyl, it was like if you had any extra money, you'd go into the record store and you'd buy your rock album.
Mm-hmm.
And that new rock album always had to be albums out. You put your best album in the mm-hmm. front of the stack for when your friends were over. Like, yeah, I got that one.
Yeah.
And we're going to play that
one. Yeah, I hear you.
Is how it was. And I had the receiver just like you and all that mm-hmm. stuff, but it's all gone now.
I was a Yamaha man. I didn't buy anything but Yamaha equipment.
Yep. And those Pioneers and EPI tower speakers.
I chose the Yamaha over the Pioneer.
Yeah, and Pioneer had that nice turntable.
There was a Sanyo and an Oinkyo and all that, but the Yamaha was the standard for me. What do you want to say about the Eagles here, Ed?
What I'd like to say is I think they're looking a little bit better than I thought they'd look. I think that Jalen Hurts is looking better. His arm is looking better. As long as he's not running the whole season for his life, which seemed to be the case last year for Carson,
mm-hmm.
We're going to be fine as far as the offense goes. As long as that offensive line protects him, he's hitting his passes. It'd be nice to see a running back catch him, but he's getting more accurate. I mm-hmm. think he's improving. And also, Mike, just I know there's only so much time. 6-1 on the Sixers is not bad. I kind of like that.
Well, there you go. You might as well take that Sixer line. They moved up into that slot. Have you guys seen the movie Jagged Edge?
I have not.
It's worth seeing it if you can find it somewhere. He was a handsome man back in the day. And he plays this dashing, he's a newspaper owner, but only because his wife's family owned a newspaper and she got murdered.
Oh.
And you don't know who killed her. But his lawyer becomes Glenn Close, and they start to have an affair.
Oh, all right.
So yeah, it's interesting.
Did you like Glenn Close in her day?
No.
Okay.
George and Mount Laurel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. George,
how you doing, Mike?
What's up? What's up, George?
I have a frozen Randall bar, candy bar. It's over 40 years old.
A Randall candy bar?
Yes. By the way, you know me.
Really? Did he really? Randall had a candy bar? Randall Cunningham?
Yeah, it's the same bar, I think, as the Jerry Rice and the Bo Jackson bar. They just put different wrappers
But
it existed and you could buy it.
I knew there was a Reggie bar back in the day. Reggie Jackson had a candy bar.
Yeah, but no, Randall had.
Randall had. So you have this?
He unveiled it on
Arsenio? Really?
Yeah, Arsenio, yeah.
George, you have this still frozen?
Yes, it's frozen. It's got his picture on it, and it says scrambled peanuts and caramel.
That's awesome. See, now that's worth holding on to.
You know me, Mike. I had you in a great sports debate.
Yes.
Pirates in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. George, hold on to that, man. Keep that thing frozen. That's awesome.
It says the best offense is an education. The best defense is to avoid drugs and alcohol.
That's on the label?
Randall Cunningham. It's on the back.
That's awesome.
Where he would turn.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's good stuff, George. You know, the Reggie bar came because he said, I'm so good at you name a candy bar after me. Because he thought everybody assumed that Babe Ruth was called Baby Ruth, but everybody assumed it was like Babe Ruth. And right. It wasn't. And Reggie goes, I should have a candy bar named after me. So sure enough, some candy company hopped right on it and created the Reggie bar.
That's pretty cool.
It was good candy.
It was good?
It was an excellent candy. I forget what it was. Was it like a chunky? Was like raisins in it with chocolate?
The Randall one?
No, the Reggie bar.
Oh, the Reggie
bar. Let me see what that was here. Reggie candy bar. Yeah, there it is, the Reggie bar. It's him on the cover swinging a bat. It was a round milk chocolate covered bar with peanuts in the caramel center.
I know, it's hard to go wrong with that.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Delicious.
It was a good bar.
I believe it.
I don't know what company made it.
Now, that's a guy who was never...
Oh, Clark.
Clark, yeah.
He was never modest.
It has Reggie with an exclamation point across the label with him swinging the follow through in a swing.
Now that's a guy who insists upon himself. Oh, I don't mind. And I don't mind not one bit. Go ahead, Reggie. Reggie loved being Reggie. I had a 600-foot home run and it was still going up, he said. It's still going up. He's like, yeah, all right, Reggie. Yeah. It's still going up.
Oh, that's when it hit the light tower.
Yeah, he said it was still on the way up.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, I remember watching that.
He says it could have gone 800.
I was a monster Reggie fan and Oakland A fan at the time. As a kid.
Did you know Johnny Bench hit one that same game? And he says that his hit some scaffold. And he said, you know, I bet you mine was further than Reggie.
Oh, he did say that?
Oh, yeah, he did. No. These guys, these old school cats in this baseball. See, today's baseball guys aren't the same. They don't talk like that, those old school guys talk.
No. But that home run, that was like a natural. He hit it into the light stand.
There's no way it was still going up.
It may have been still going up.
It was going 800 feet.
During the break, we got a break coming up. You should Google that. All-star game home run, Reggie Jackson. The thing hit the light tower like Roy Hobbs.
Well, he says, my head, it hit this scaffolding thing. But I swear, to this day, mine was going further than Reggie's.
I don't think so, man. Let's take a quick break. We'll have sound off on the other side. Oh, we'll take one more. Okay, let's go to Eric in Lehigh County. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
Oh, not too much. I wanted to talk about some of the coaches on the Philadelphia Eagles. Uh-huh. And I kind of think, I'm looking at how the players are doing, but I think one of the most important things that I want to focus on is how the coaches react to what the players are doing and how it progresses as the season goes on, because I don't expect things to start off very well, but I think that if we can understand that they're coaching these guys up and things are going well as the season goes on, it'll bode well for the future, maybe the next season.
I was a little put aback by the guys' high school mannerisms early on.
Yeah.
But, I'm watching him now. I'm watching him diligently, and he's not taking any nonsense in practice, and I think he's really trying to teach. And, you know, the first game, they really didn't make silly mistakes, so they were more buttoned down than I thought.
I hope that Lurie and, Howie don't step in and, crush his, his performance, because I think he's got a plan.
Yeah.
And maybe it won't come to fruition this year, but I'm hoping that they'll keep them on, and I'm hoping that goes in the plus side, as things progress.
I think this is a young staff. I think they're committed to having this staff see it through.
The other thing is about collectors and collectors. Uh-huh. My philosophy on it is I like to collect. Well, I don't collect a lot of things, but I think it's important that when you collect something, it's something you can use. Uh-huh. I mean, if you're just collecting it for money and you're going to pass it on from generation to generations, you might lose it in a fire, whatever.
Yeah.
But I got an old pickup truck, and I like to use it. And I got an old guitar, and I like to use it because you can't find some old things anymore. So if you buy something old and you preserve it, and you preserve it for the future, it's a piece of history.
Right.
So that's what I like about it. You could have card collections or typewriter collections. Yeah. I don't understand. Yeah. I mean, you might as well collect a Rosetta Stone.
Right.
I think it's important to use what you collect.
Yes. Some people don't think that. Some people like to just collect it and preserve its pristine value, because let's face it, if you use it, you knock down the value. So then what's the point of collecting? I don't know. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Sound off on the other side.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Oh, yes, I'm Sound Off. 610-771-9705 is the Sound Off line. You got something to say, hit us up. Probably a few people hit us up yesterday with the Aaron Nola debacle. Let's see what we have today on Sound Off.
Joe Flacco literally makes Jalen Hurts look like a little kid on the field. Like a man going against a boy. 114 passer rating. Borderline Hall of Famer against a guy who couldn't even make his college team. Had one good year with Oklahoma in a wild conference.
Dude, seriously? You wasted at least 35 seconds of my life with nonsense. Don't do that to me.
Yeah, for another stellar performance by Aaron Nola. I'm starting to think, if you look at the last, well, it's probably been the beginning of all Philly sports history. We always get the Robin. We never get the Batman, right? Nola, Simmons, Carson Wentz, Bobby DeRue. I mean, frankly, it's probably been going along, like, Iguodala back in the day, or Ramon Gagne. Like, we never get the number one guy. We get the number two guy.
Well, how many people get the number one guy? One. You know, what? I don't understand. Like, some people get a number one guy. It's the way it works.
And all we asked Ben Simmons to do is be Robin. He couldn't even be. Embiid was Batman. Right. I only need him to be Robin to dunk the
ball.
They got
the best center in the league. That's, you know, that's a Batman.
You gotta realize that the Phillies have caused older people a lot of pain. Yeah, we did have that good run, but what have you done for me lately? They ain't doing nothing. It's been, what, 13 years?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have to judge them so harshly. It's like you can't let the past consume the present on what you're looking at. So don't overreact to them losing a Sunday game with Aaron Nola to the Cincinnati Reds. The Cincinnati Reds can beat some teams. So now if they lose to lousy teams, then we freak out.
I think you guys had a good topic today. I think back how many Mickey Mantle cards I stuck in my bicycle to make it sound like a motorcycle. And I did that with everything Yankees went into the bicycle because I didn't like the Yankees.
That's a shame because those Mickey Mantle cards were worth something, right?
Yeah.
You proved the point, but you cut off your nose to spite your face.
I don't understand why we still have human beings calling balls a strike in this day and age. There's no need for it. They suck
in this
at
day
it.
And age.
They're so terrible. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's going to go away. The umpire will still be there. They're not going to take away a job. He's still got to be there. But like, he's got nothing to do with it anymore. He just stands behind the catcher. You know, he can still crouch and get a little protection. And yeah, you let the computer and the lasers call it. Let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets off.
See you later.
All righty. Thanks, everybody, for listening, participating to the program today. Stay tuned. Devon Gibbons will take you into the evening. And on NBC Sports Philly, stay tuned for the building a memory, the spectrum Always an interesting show. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.